Live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385-698. That's 385-698. You can also find that at nationalrealliance.org. Top left side, hit the weekly caller. All right, if anybody would like to email a question, send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Again, that's questions, plural, nationallibertyalliance.org. And whatever questions we get, we'll answer next week. Let's see. Tonight's reading, God's Word, is in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. The Lord tells us to avoid wickedness. We read, in starting in verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Okay, those Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. Okay, this evening's topic is Extraordinary Remedies. You can download a copy of this at nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on Media, and we'll come down a little bit, and you'll see the list of let's see what it says. But there are files down there. Some of them in one group is with Word, and the other is in PDF. All right, well, anyway, it's on that site, on our site. Just go a little down, you'll see. Okay, and again, the name of the...
Hey, John, are you away from your mic or something? You sound very low.
No, I don't think so. Let me see if I'm going to try to raise my mic.
Well, I'm having trouble hearing you a little bit. I don't know if anybody else is.
Right.
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, you just blew my eardrums out, Rob, because I turned everything up trying to hear them. And you came in loud and clear.
Usually I don't have a problem. But let me get off of my...
I imagine that's what that earthquake sounded like over there in...
How's this any better?
Oh, there you go.
I'm back, huh? Okay.
My goodness, what a difference.
What a difference a mic makes, huh? Okay, anyway, as we were saying, tonight's topic is extraordinary remedies. And again, you'll find a copy of this on our media page. Just click on, media, and come down to legal documents. And it's in alphabetical order, Extraordinary Remedies. And you'll find a copy in PDF and also in Word. Word is easy to cut and paste, but everybody's got PDF if they don't have Word. Okay, so let's look at that topic first today. Extraordinary Remedies or Extraordinary Writs. This is the people's remedy. And I want to tell you, I've been looking at this quite hard over the past months. And this is where our power and authority is. We talk to them through writs. That's the way to deal with these people, and that's where our power and authority is in. And the writ comes from the king's bench. And believe me, they do understand that, because they understand the power of the habeas corpus. Extremely powerful. And I doubt many judges will dare to try to prevent one from going forward. I really do feel that they would not do that unless he's suicidal. Because the process and procedures of law will not permit it. That should indict them themselves. And, of course, we will indict any judge that does that. All right, anyway, the King's Bench. The King's Bench is the seat of the tribunal for the Supreme Court of Common Law, made up of one or more sovereigns, with the power to fine or imprison for contempt, and functions independently of the person of the magistrate. Therefore, the king's bench can only be the jury, or the sovereign of the court. Whenever the king's bench is impaneled by the people, a court of record is open, whether it is in its investigative mode, as the grand jury, or in its trial mode, as the petty jury. Its authority, power, judgments, and jurisdiction is final and cannot be challenged or overturned. All courts not of record are inferior courts whose jurisdiction is limited and special, and whose proceedings are not according to the course of the common law. Criminal courts proceed according to statutory law. Jurisdiction and procedure is defined by statutes. Likewise, civil courts and admiralty courts proceed according to statutory law. Any court proceeding according to statutory law is not a court of record, which only proceeds according to the common law. It is an inferior court. Extraordinary writs emanate from the king's bench, and although the tribunal is usually a body of judges, 12 or 25, it can also be executed by the people themselves and can only be refuted by a sworn affidavit of another person. These extraordinary writs are extraordinary remedies. Give me 1 second. Okay, sorry, my dog was whining here, trying to get out. Okay, writs. Writ is a precept in writing, in other words, principles, couched in the form. Someone's mic is bleeding through, by the way. Everybody's got to mute your mic. I don't know. Okay. Writs is precepts in writing, in other words, principles, couched in the form of a letter running in the name of the people, president or state, issuing from a court of justice and sealed with its seal, addressed to a sheriff or other officer of the law, or directly to the person whose action the court desires to command, either as the commencement of a suit or other proceeding, or as incidental to its progress. and requiring the performance of a specified act, to or give authority and commission to have it done. It is a mandate, precept, issuing from the Court of Justice. Extraordinary remedies. There are many types of writs, but the most powerful are the extraordinary remedies in contradistinction to the ordinary remedies by action. Such extraordinary writs as the writ of quo warranto for the right of the people to inquire by what authority, writ of habeas corpus for the right of the people to show cause for detention or release the body, writ of error used to reverse a judgment in error, quorum nobis, which means before us ourselves, writ of certiorari, which is a writ commanding judges or officers of inferior courts to certify or to return records or proceedings in a cause for judicial review of their action, and finally, the writ of mandamus, a writ that commands an official or a court to perform some act. The extraordinary judicial writ issuing out of a court of superior jurisdiction directed to an inferior court or tribunal exercising judicial powers for the purpose of preventing the inferior tribunal from usurping a jurisdiction with which it is not lawfully vested, from assuming or exercising jurisdiction over matters beyond its cognizance, or from exceeding its jurisdiction in matters of which it has cognizance. Writs of prohibition and mandamus are demanding remedies by which the Supreme Court of Record could supervise lower courts and public officers. Writs of mandamus, Latin means we command. This is the name of a high prerogative writ which issues from a court of superior jurisdiction and is directed to a private or municipal corporation or any of its officers, or to an executive, administrative, or judicial officer, or to an inferior court commanding the performance of a particular act therein specified and belonging to his or their public official or ministerial duty, or directing the restoration of the complainant of to rights or privileges of which he has been illegally deprived, or to compel a court to give judgment on a verdict, to seal or amend bills of exceptions, or to exonerate bail, or to compel an elected or an appointed servant to perform some duty. The writ of prohibition is available if needed to restrain an inferior court from exceeding its jurisdiction prior to final judgment in a case. Writ of certiorari, Latin means to be informed of, to be made certain in regard to. The name of a writ of review of or inquiry, a writ commanding judges or officers of inferior courts to certify or to return records or proceedings in a cause for judicial review of their actions. By the common law, a Supreme Court has the power to review the proceedings of all inferior tribunals and to pass upon their jurisdiction and decisions on questions of law. The command of a writ of certiorari, which is certiorari facias, lacks forth to cause to be certified. Writ of error, a writ issued from a court of appellate jurisdiction directed to a judge or judge of a court of record requiring them to remit to the appellate court the record of an action before them in which a final judgment has been entered in order that examination may be made of certain errors alleged to have been committed and that the judgment may be reversed, corrected, or affirmed, as the case may require. Quorum nobis, before us ourselves, or the King's Bench, applied to writs of error directed to another branch of the same court, when a suit is brought and determined in a court which has no jurisdiction in the matter, then it is said to be quorum non judis, and the judgment is void. Error in the proceedings before you, words used in a writ of error directed by a court of review to a court which tried the cause, then it is said to be error quorum vobis. Habeas corpus, U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 9. The privileges of a writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended in the United States. Habeas corpus exists in two forms, common law and statutory. The Constitution for the United States of America acknowledges the people's right to the common law of England as it was in 1789. It does not consist of absolute, fixed, or inflexible rules, but broad and comprehensive principles based on justice, reason, and common sense. This is the well-known remedy for delivering from illegal confinement, called by Sir William Blackstone the most celebrated writ in the English law, and the great and effectuous writ in all manner of illegal confinement. The great writ of liberty, issuing at common law of the courts of Chancery, King's Bench, Common Pleas, and Exchequer. At common law, the writ meaning you have the body to testify, used to bring up a prisoner detained in a jail or prison to give evidence before the court. In civil cases, habeas corpus is used to remove a person out of the custody of one court into that of another, in order that he may be sued and answer to the action in the latter. In criminal cases, habeas corpus is directed to the person detained another and commanding him to produce the body of the prisoner with the day and cause of his caption and detention, and to submit to whatsoever judge of the court awaiting the writ shall consider in that behalf. On a petition for a writ of habeas corpus, the standard of review for a claim of prosecutorial misconduct, like the standard of review for the claim of judicial misconduct, is the narrow one of due process, and not the broad exercise of supervisory power. The relevant question is whether the prosecutor's comments so affected the trial with unfairness as to make the resulting conviction a denial of due process. Statutory procedure, a legal process that cannot be derailed. U.S. Code 28-2243, issuance of writs. A court, justice, or judge entertaining an application for writ of habeas corpus shall forthwith award the writ, or issue an order directing the respondent to show cause why the writ should not be granted, unless it appears from the application that the applicant or person detained is not entitled thereunto. The writ or order to show cause shall be directed to the person having custody of the person detained. It shall be returned within 3 days, unless for good cause additional time not exceeding 20 days may be allowed. The person to whom the writ or order is directed shall make a return certifying the true cause of the detention. When the writ or order is returned, a day shall be set forth hearing not more than 5 days after the return, unless for good cause additional time is allowed. Unless the application for the writ and the return present only issue of law, the persons to whom the writ is directed shall be required to produce at the hearing the body of the person detained. The applicant or the person detained may under oath deny any of the facts set forth in the return or allege any other material facts. The return and all suggestions made against it may be amended by leave of court before or after being filed. The court shall summarily hear and determine the facts and dispose of the matter as law and justice requires. Default judgment, Rule 55, Default 55A. Entering a default. When a party against whom a judgment for affirmative relief is sought has failed to plead or otherwise defend, and the failure is shown by affidavit or otherwise, the clerk must enter the party's default. It establishes allegations of complaint and concludes by way of estoppel. Quo warranto. A writ in the nature of a writ of right for the king against him who claimed or usurps any office, franchise, or liberty, to inquire by what authority he supported his claim in order to determine the right. It lay also in case of non-users, or long neglect of franchise, or misuser or abuse of it, being a writ commanding the defendant to show by what warrant he exercises such a franchise, having never had any grant of it, or having forfeited it by neglect or abuse, an extraordinary proceeding prerogative in nature addressed to preventing a continued exercise of authority unlawfully asserted. It is intended to prevent exercise of powers that are not conferred by law, and is not ordinarily available to the regular manner of exercising such powers. Upon such a writ, if the corporate charter is found to be in violation of the unalienable rights of the people, said charter may be dissolved and the assets seized for remedy of the injured. Okay, that brings us to the end. It was a pretty short paper today. It's only 4 pages. And we're hoping to get into the courts this week a writ of habeas corpus. And once we post that, if we get it done this week, we will be reading that writ of habeas corpus, and we're going to go through the procedure and process of habeas writ of habeas corpus next Monday. And everybody needs to understand the power and the authority of the writ. They need to understand the process and procedure, and it's like 4 or 5 parts, and each part must be executed in a process over a period of time. And and if you miss any of the processes and the procedures of that process, then it could really end up being, you know, inexecuted. In other words, it's not completely fully executed. So we really have to be very careful to understand how this works, how to write one, and how to execute it. When we execute a writ of habeas corpus, we're going to be doing it in the name of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And a writ of habeas corpus ultimately really is a show cause. And when you're asking for a show cause, you're really in an investigative mode. And so that's the process that we're going through. As administrators right now ourselves, where 4 of us will come together and work on this process to command the court where a person is incarcerated to show cause why they're incarcerated. And bear in mind, just about any court that anyone is incarcerated in, whether it be physical imprisonment or whether it be, basically the fact that they have to return to the court, that's a sense of incarceration. You know, you are restrained. You have to return to the court. You're under their control. You have to obey whatever they say. So in that case, you know, being under the control of that court, in order to get out from control of that court, you want to file a habeas corpus, and since it is an extraordinary writ, and it also really the focus of the whole habeas corpus process is the violation of your unalienable rights of due process protected by the Fifth Amendment, and once you go through that process, if they fail to respond, and they will fail to respond because they can't respond. Because what is required for them to respond, they refuse to do. They refuse to have any sworn affidavits. So, of course, they refuse to open courts of record. So you're in a court not of record. That's a foreign court. Easily can be removed from that court not of record. Same thing, of course, the fact that they don't have that means they don't have jurisdiction over you personam, over your person. And on the other end is subject matter jurisdiction. They don't have that either, again, because they don't have anybody who really puts up a sworn affidavit. They got 3 strikes against them. Foreign court, subject matter jurisdiction, no personam jurisdiction. And no matter what they do, they can stand on their head. They have nothing to bring into the court to show any kind of cause. So what they do is they just be silent. Then the process takes its own procedure. After 3 days, the judge must, within 5 days, order the release of that individual. We go through the process, but first and foremost, before that happens, you have to file what's called a default for the writ of habeas corpus to show cause. Make sure you take the dog out with you, Asa. Take her. Thanks.
Okay, anyway, we're going to get into this much, much more deeper next week, Lord willing, that we get this paper filed. We're not going to go through the paper until we file it. I mean, if we file it on Monday, we will review it on Monday then, too. But as long as we get it filed before next Monday, we'll read that habeas corpus. We'll probably read through all of the paperwork, and then we're going to, you know, explain the paperwork, and then all of these papers will be filed up online for anybody to execute them. You know, the writ of habeas corpus originally came out for the sole purpose of removing someone from one court into another court, and it has become the most powerful writ of common law, able to remove almost anyone out of prison. So if a grand jury or trial jury was to demand on writ of habeas corpus the delivery of the body to review the case and then decides to release them, case is over. And the other good part about this whole thing is the court must cease and desist. The court that was executing against that individual, once they default, an order of cease and desist is then put forward. So they can't continue in that court. So this is a very powerful paper, and anybody who understands what I'm talking about understands now how to get out of the clutches of these courts that just won't let you go. These criminal courts, you know, which are all nisi prius, statutory courts operating and against the Constitution and standing only on statutes. Okay. Anyway, next week we'll pick up very heavily on that, hopefully. Again, dependent upon us getting this filed. If not, we'll do it the following week. But it's going to be going through, and I think we'll get it done this week. All right, let me just go through a few more things before we open things up. I want to ask everybody to please support our business partners and the proceeds support the NLA effort. On National Liberty Alliance, we've made the decision that if we get any kind of a product that we might sell, in order to help support National Liberty Alliance costs, we only accept a product that really makes sense to the Liberty Movement. And we've added a couple of new products just this week, and I think next week we'll have another product up here. But again, only products that make sense to the Liberty Movement. You know, we have a new product up here in order to make a colloidal silver. So it's a colloidal silver maker, and the name of that is by Silver Lung. That's the name of the company that makes it, Silver Lungs. I bought that. I believe it's probably the best colloidal silver maker on the market. A lot of places will teach to make silver, and really it's not really done in a proper way. But this product here, you could make tons of silver. I've made like when I first put this together, I made about 8 quart jars full. Okay, so you can make quite a bit in a reasonably short period of time. And it's endless. You can make, just keep making this stuff. And it has a lot of benefits towards injuries, helps to prevent scars if you use it on wounds. It also... you know, you can take it and breathe it in through a nebulizer. Is that what it's called, Gerard, a nebulizer? Anyway, we're going to put some information up on the page on this particular product this week and get more details on it. So, you know, if you were to go out and buy colloidal silver, it's pretty expensive. It's like, $49 or $39 for a little bottle. And you can make this stuff by the gallon. Okay, we also took on another company. You know, we're all about survival. Anybody who is preparing for survival knows they need real money. That's silver. And, of course, we have East End rare coins. And also they need food. So we have NLAReady.com for food independence. For Numana food. All of these things are priced, they're affordable, they're priced affordably. And again, anybody preparing needs those items. You need real money and you need food. to get through the hard times. Another thing we just took on was a survival seed vault. It's My Patriot Supply. And again, you know, you click on the links on the right side and it'll take you over to the pages and you can read up on the product. We're going to make these links go to a page on our site first so we can maybe do a video or do some basic information that we know about the product and then link from there to the other site where you'll be able to purchase the product. And if you come through our site to purchase the product, of course, you know, we'll get the income from it as a partner with them. The product is the same price whether you buy it from us or buy it from them direct. So, of course, you know, buy it through us and you help us out. I was blown away by the seed vault, the amount of seed that you get. And so you get a good quantity of seed and you get a quality of seed. You know, the seed's planted and it's not any of the GMO stuff. And obviously, of course, it's seed inside seed. A lot of seeds you get, you can plant once, but it doesn't give you the seed inside the plant, so you have to keep going by the seed, thanks to Monsanto. But anyway, these products are up there and available. And, you know, I was speaking with someone today concerning buying silver, and there's been some problems with the banks in order to purchase silver, giving people a hard time and making them go through particular hoops and just having a hard time being able to purchase silver through their banks, you know, trying to do maybe a, you know, a wire or something of that nature. So something's up with that, and it's just another sign of the time, so to speak. So, again, everybody should turn their money into real money. You can always flip it back, okay? But once things go down, the money we have that we're using every day is going to become worthless. And if you don't have any silver, you're going to be really behind the eight ball in this. Same thing with food. If you don't have food and if you don't have seed, you know, this seed bank thing also sells sprouts, which is really good for under emergency because you can grow it in a glass jar, literally in your basement. And in two or three weeks, you actually have food being produced out of these jars. I need to learn more about this myself, but nevertheless, this is the kind of products that we're interested in sharing with people. Of course, we have our common law handbooks also that we're selling. And again, we're going to get a few more products. Now, I don't want to get too much into products every week, but I did want to make the announcement and really tie this together. So next week, if we pick up a new product, we'll briefly just mention what we have and the name of the new product, and we're not going to get into too much detail. But again, if you're going to be buying these products, buy them through us. I think we have the best products. I think we have the best prices. And again, buying through us also supports National Liberty Alliance effort to save America. Okay, we also ask that everybody support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Again, click on our donation tab on the top right and you know, give what you can. $5. If everybody gave $5, we'd have plenty of money. let's see. A couple of announcements. We need people to fill numerous leadership roles throughout National Liberty Alliance. We're really starting to move, getting a lot of activity. We've got about 7 or 8 committees going. We have 2 additional groups going. And they're all busy doing things, and all of this is moving National Liberty Alliance closer and closer to where we're trying to be, and also getting people active in what's going on. So we need people. We need more state coordinators, and I believe we may need a national district coordinator. So anybody that is interested in that, give a call to Robert. Go to the directory. You'll see Robert's name and phone number in there, and give him a call and get connected. Okay, we also have 2 more committees we're looking to move forward. We're looking to build a grievance committee, so we need a director for that. Anybody interested in being the director for the grievance committee, again, get a call, get a hold of Robert, and he'll set things up, and you know, I'll talk with you, and we'll try to bring things together. And there's one other committee we're looking to build, and what's called a health and wellness committee. Okay, so we need someone really, really knowledgeable in this area, someone who really understands health and wellness and how to achieve it and maintain it and to put these things together to help all of us to stay away from certain things and know exactly where we want to, what kind of foods and what kind of things we want to gravitate towards, and vitamins or different things of necessity. You know, there's a lot of poison out there. They're poisoning, everybody's, I'm sure, aware of this, that they're poisoning our water and our air and our food. And we need to get these chemicals out of our body. And by the way, the colloidal silver, or colloidal silver, I guess it's pronounced, the colloidal silver helps to remove metals from the body. It also helps to support good health. And it also helps to... I think, move your immune system. Gerard, correct me if I'm wrong on any of these things here. I don't know if you want to talk about any of that on this colloidal silver. These things are important for our health, and we need to stay away from certain things and stay healthy and be aware. Okay. Email problems. We've been having some email problems. The techs are on it, working on it today. They thought they fixed it earlier today or yesterday, I think it was. They thought they fixed it yesterday, so they've been working on it today. For some reason, when some of us put emails out and it goes right off the website, you might get 4 copies of it, or you might get 20 copies of it. I know in one case, Sheila sent out some emails, and some people got 60 copies of her email. I know I got about 20. So they're working on that, and hopefully that's corrected by now, or it's going to be corrected, and we'll take it from there. Gerard, Gary, Robert, you guys have anything particular you want to add before we move to an open forum here?
Well, yeah, we actually have a need for 3 district coordinators right now.
Okay, so we need people who will volunteer their time. And remember, look, we're not asking anyone to come full-time. Of course, if you can become full-time, that's great. I mean, if you're retired or you just have a lot of time, because of the business you're in or whatever the case may be, you know, we'll take as much time as you'll give us. But most of these positions, you know, we're looking to build committees, looking to build membership and support with each other. So nobody's got to put a lot of time in unless they've got a lot of time to put in. A couple hours a week maybe you might need to put in order to assist. I mean, even if you can only put an hour in a week, I mean, look, there's other people putting an hour and another person putting in 2 hours, and before you know it, you got 10, 20 hours going into that particular committee or that particular situation or working with whatever the situation may be. So please get a hold of Robert. Robert, do you want to give your phone number here? I know it's up on the website. It should be on the directory.
Yeah, it's,
just give it to him now anyway in the open air.
My phone number is 503-396-7947.
Okay. All right, thank you. We also took on another national coordinator, Jan from Pennsylvania, recently joined with us on this. He was a district coordinator, so his position is kind of open. And as far as being a district coordinator, but Jen's going to be working with Robert and also with Gary. Gary hasn't been able to give us much time because he's traveling now. So it'll be mostly Robert and Jen working to accomplish the necessary workload and duties and goals on a national level. By the way, is Gary here?
No.
Yeah, he's here. I see he's in on the main. There, he's in here. Hey, Gary, where you at? I see his name coming in, but I don't see him on the phone. Wait a second. I do see him on the phone.
You see...
Oh, he's coming in under anonymous. Okay, let me unmute him. Okay, I had to mute him because there was noise being on his phone. Gary, is that you?
Yes, that is me.
All right, next time mute yourself. I had to mute you while you were in here.
Well, I did mute myself, but I don't know why. I don't know why it didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, you had to hit *6 to unmute
yourself.
Yeah. Go. Oh, you're in here on a board. You can go click and just unmute yourself with your button there. So.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm fighting an attack we're under right now, so I've been a little distracted.
Okay. Maybe
our website
you might
is being
want
attacked.
To.
So.
when you get a chance, I don't know if you could do it during the call or you could do it after the call, we should give Jan access into the panel here. And also access.
Oh yes, I'll take care of that with Jan. I will Skype him. Yeah, I will Skype him right away.
Okay. All right. And meanwhile, and make sure he understands when he's in here to mute his mic himself. If he needs to pipe in, he can always unmute himself, pipe in, and then mute himself up again, so no background noise comes in with him. But who was this talking to?
I will do that.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Gary said we're kind of under attack. We had a bunch of people come in and post a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, we've had 6 to 8 illicit joiners, and they've been making hundreds of illicit, only irritating forum postings. Hundreds.
Okay,
I've just eliminated them all.
And you've been catching them and refusing their accounts?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you know
I think
what I noticed,
we might need to make a change. Yeah?
You know what I noticed, though, is I had to... I found someone doing the same thing this week, and I shut down their account. I went back to see, and their posting was still there, and all that was supposed to be removed, but I noticed is that under the thing, it needs an approval now. So it's actually...
Well...
People don't see it. But you can...
Here's what I've learned. Yeah, John, what it does is when you disable the account and unpublish their content, it's still saved under the administrative view. So we can still see it, but I was also deleting it out from underneath there because there was... Right. So they're unpublished, but
yeah,
they're
so
still in the main
it.
Registry. Right.
Right. So, I mean, that
right.
I
the minute we unpublish them.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to deal with it because then they can't come back in, at least not under that identity.
Well, you know what else, John? And somebody can pipe in and disagree with me if they do. I think what we need to do is stop the auto registration and have a welcome wagon registration. And when the welcome wagon approves them, we enable their account.
All right, let's talk about that later.
That's something
we'll bring
worth
that
thinking.
Up at the meeting tomorrow night, okay?
We'll do that, yes.
Okay. Just for everybody that needs to know, and everybody should know, we have board meetings every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here in this room. Everybody is invited in to listen in. Only participants are the directors, or unless someone is appointed to take the director's place for that night, you know, in order to give account of their stewardship for the week, and also in order to communicate new business back and forth and between the different committees and groups, and that everybody is kept abreast and the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. And so these meetings, we hope, will be moving very quickly now. Last week, we spent quite a bit of time, over an hour, but our anticipation is to keep the board meetings down to a half hour, just hit hardcore business, move through it quickly, and get out. We may open at the end of a board meeting. We may open for discussion if there seems to be a controversy and it's reasonable. We'll end the board meeting and then open for discussion for whatever the controversy might be. But anybody who wants to stay could stay. Anybody who wants to leave would leave. But at least they should hear the board meeting and see what's going on, and hopefully want to participate in some of these committees. Look, the bottom line is only the people can save America. So everybody's got to really get involved. We got to be doing things. We got to be moving and motivating. Activity breeds more activity. So the more active we are as a group, as an organization, the more the greater the growth of what we're doing. I personally am absolutely convinced upon information received and obvious things that it's just clear, and we're going to be putting this in writing soon. I am absolutely convinced that Jade Helm is their move to take guns away from the people and start incarcerating. I absolutely believe that this is the case. I don't think they're ready. I think they know that they're not ready. They prefer getting the guns out of the people first before making a real hardcore move the way I think they're going to be doing it. But I don't think they have a choice either. I think they've come to that point, the tipping point, where they don't want nobody else know, you know, what they're doing. I think they're starting to feel uncomfortable that too many people know. And so, again, that only proves the point light being the best disinfectant. You want to get rid of darkness, shine the light as bright as you can on it, and darkness flees. Because that's the nature. And that's why God gave us that nature, in order to reflect the light and the darkness. And light will always overtake darkness. Darkness comprehends it not. Okay, anyway, I think that ends. Gerard, do you have anything particular to add in before we move on? I guess not.
Nothing to add.
Okay, I guess not. Gary, mute your mic. Gerard, did you want to pipe in before we get started on open forum here?
Yeah, I just wanted to say there was one other issue that we worked on this week, and I'm just going to mention it briefly. And this is really for, like, the district coordinators to be on the lookout for and reiterate all the time that people coming into NLA, they should not market directly to NLA members off of our email list. You know, there's still some of that going on, so we want everybody to know that you're not, you know, you're not to use that email list to market anything that you might have. I mean, if you got something you think is great, you come and see, you know, one of the administrations, and we'll put a link on the site to it if it's like John said, if it makes sense. But, you know, people don't like to be getting multi-level marketing stuff in their emails when they signed up from LLA. We want to keep it clean. Plus, it's illegal too. So let's, you know, have a little bit of respect and not do that. So I'm just reiterating it. Most people know that here, but we got, you know, a lot of people coming in, new people, and we need to repeat that every now and then just to reinforce it. And I would like, you know, especially the leadership of NLA to reinforce it among your groups. That way we don't have to repeat it on these Monday night calls or whatever. Anyway, that's all. I just wanted to get that out there because I think that's important. You know, to say time to time, so we don't end up with a problem. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
And again, you know, the board meeting is very important to really understand the mechanisms and how we're working and what we're doing, and to really get a good deep appreciation of what NLA is really trying to accomplish. And of course, again, like I said, activity breeds more activity. But also, you know, we're going to be talking, and we've already been talking with the district leaders. And the district leader, I believe we have 12 of them, or we have 12 positions anyway. I think two are vacant right now. But we have 12 districts, and of these districts, you know, each district is responsible for so many states. Now, we've done away with the state meetings in order to really focus in on really building up our ranks. And so we're really trying to get very methodical and about how we go about with the meetings. The meetings are focused in totally for the sole purpose of really growing the group, growing the state groups, of course, and ultimately national, because if the states grow, of course, national grows, but also organizing every county within the state. That's what they need to be doing. And so we're going to be making sure that the district leaders focus in on that at the meetings. And to help the states, we put three states together. One state may be a little weak, another state may be extremely strong, and another state, so-so. And so the one that is really strong, well, you know, what are you doing that's really building up your membership? And, you know, what activities are you involved with? And you'll find probably people are making phone calls. They're sharing the information, our website. They're going to their Liberty groups and getting people in other Liberty groups involved, and so on and so forth. And that's how you get activity in your state and in your county. And then the state coordinators need to be looking and asking people to step up for their counties, sign up to become, you know, jury administrators, sign up to become a county organizer. And a county organizer is just that. That's it, just an organizer. In other words, you're trying to get more people into your county group by going to your, you know, local Tea Party or Liberty meetings, you know, Liberty group meetings, and bringing the membership in, introducing them to NLA, letting them know whatever it is that you're trying to do. You working with Scope? Well, we're the answer for that. We will give them the authority and power to do to accomplish their goal. You know, is a group working against Agenda 21 or Common Core? Well, we'll give you that power. Come to NLA and we'll show you how you can have the power to continue and to stop these different things. So let's get the word out there. Let's get involved. Let's get to the meetings. And we're going to really work hard. I got a few emails from people concerned about we're wasting too much time. And it is true. There are times when we waste too much time on a call. There's no reason to be on a call for 2 or 3 hours when you can get business done in a half hour. We're strictly business, okay? And any meeting, you know, there's an exception to this maybe with the CPS. I think CPS has to be strictly business, and they have to start the meeting at a certain time. They have to end it at a certain time. I think in 20 minutes, a half hour, whatever the case may be. After that, if people want to stick around because they want to talk about the situations and get a little more information and just chat like in an open forum, well, that's fine. But I think the meeting has to be focused so people feel that after the half hour or 20 minutes that the business is done, they feel comfortable they can leave. I don't want people to feel that they have to stay an hour and a half, 2 hours. And we hold all these other meetings are being held on Wednesday nights. So Tuesday night is the board meetings. Wednesday night is these different meetings of different groups. Monday night is what we're doing here tonight. Now, we go 3 hours. And then people, you know, then people say, well, I got to go another 2 hours on Tuesday, and I got another 3 hours on Wednesday. And it's too much for them. It is too much for them. So let's get to business. We're going to be really focusing on that point during our board meeting tomorrow night. We're going to focus on that point, get to business and get it done. Start at your certain time, generally 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is the ideal time because that gives a reasonable good time where it's not too early for the people on the West Coast. So you're going to start your meeting at 9 o'clock. Let's get it done with by 9:30. Get the business done with. Then you can open for discussions for those people who wish to stay. And the discussions, again, I don't see a reason for a discussion in any other group at this point other than CPS because I think, you know, there's a lot of good that can come about from people talking about the particular kind of problems that they have over there, and it's therapeutical, okay? And we are going to encourage each state to really get something going, a private phone call on each state so, you know, people can get to the mic. I mean, we do it nationally. You know, we can have, you know, hundreds or even thousands of people on the line, and people are just not going to be able to really have a conversation. And we're going to try to encourage right on the county level to connect people on the county level, two or three families getting together and talk, you know, share with each other their case, support each other, go to court with each other until we can get in there and help. And again, that's coming very quickly. It's only a matter of getting the paperwork done, which, you know, the director over there is working, you know, the CPS group is working night and day. With all of them, we got like about 50 or 60 or so. We got quite a few volunteers very quickly over there. So we've got a lot of people working together, okay, to accomplish the goal that they need to accomplish. And very soon they should be able to start breaking off into, you know, getting together and supporting each other close by in their own neighborhood, so to speak. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of these things. We're now going to open the mics up. We are in Q&A. So the first caller is Terry from Colorado. Go right ahead, Terry from Colorado.
I'm sorry. I was trying to tell you that your mic was all messed up and was very low, and I hit star 6 to see if I could get your attention, but it shortly after that...
Okay, we got it fixed.
Syrup.
Excuse Great.
Me. Bye.
Great. So you have nothing else then, right, Terry?
I have nothing else at the moment. But
okay.
I'll star 6 again if I find out something.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, next person. Let me see. Maybe you can give us your name and your state, 970-256. 970-256.
John, it was the same problem. I couldn't hear you.
Okay. All
thank
right,
you.
Thank you. It must be my radio mic is going. So, okay, thank you. Okay, next caller, Donald from Alabama.
Same thing, John. I was you had mic problems, and I was going to jump in here and get your attention.
Okay. All right, thank you, Donald. Okay, next person, maybe you can give us your name and your state, 707-396.
Yes, hi, John. This is Doug Millar, and I wanted to check with you here. Jim Cook, are you on the line with me?
What state are you on?
I'm in Colorado.
Okay, so Doug from Colorado. Okay.
Right, Aurora, Colorado.
Maybe hold on 1 minute. Maybe someone else can get that down for that phone number. Doug from Colorado. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay, Jim Cook, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you go ahead and ask your question, and I'll ask my question.
Okay, I've been trying to get in touch with you, John. This is Jim Cook. We're Crusade Radio. We've been broadcasting you for the last month, right, Doug? So we've been trying to get the word out through our station every Monday with this conference call. But here's the question, or here's actually the statement. I'm thinking of hooking up with the Sherman Institute. They're a group of lawyers who teach how to write law and things of this nature. Now, I don't know, you're talking about proceeding with a court case against or estoppel against the U.S. government from running Jade Helm. Now, I was thinking when in 1878, when the Posse Comitatus Act was written, it was written because basically what happened was the American people refused to have a standing army because they proclaimed it would be used against them in times of peace, which is what's being done now. Now, in the Bush administration, they're the ones who passed a bill or an executive order, I forget which, but basically that executive order allowed them, did away with Posse Comitatus, or it changed certain sections of the Posse Comitatus to allow it. Now, here's the deal. The original Posse Comitatus was an agreement between the people and the federal government that they couldn't use troops on American soil, and that would give them the ability to have a standing army. Now, what we see here is that basically the federal government either has to do one of two things. They have to get back under Posse Comitatus and take the troops off the street, or basically what they have to do is turn the military back into militias and divide the armed forces between the 50 states. Those are the only options. They have to breach a contract. So basically when you're doing your paperwork for this, I'm going to try and get in touch with with the Sherman Institute and talk to them about it, joining you in a suit to stop this from going forward. And if anything, use a cease and desist order for violations of contractual agreement, because they made the agreement.
Well, look, you're absolutely right on the mark. We're very, very conscious and astute to everything you're talking about. Our focus is right on point with what your points are. We're very familiar with what the Constitution says, and what you were talking about is found in Article 1, Section 8. I believe it's line 15, which would be paragraph 15 here, which says, to provide for the calling forth of a militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasions. Okay, so if there is any kind of a problem, we don't need Homeland Security. We don't need the military. We need the calling forth of the militia. Now, the problem is, of course, is in 15, that must have been 14, the next one I think is 15, which requires Congress to provide. This isn't something they could do if they'd like to do. No, they've been ordered by we the people. We've ordained and established this Constitution for them, and they have been given the job and been ordered to provide for the organizing, arming, and disciplining of the militia, and for the governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states, respectively, the appointment of the officers and of the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. So the state controls the militia, but the federal government is to fund the militia to make sure that there is a process put forth and organizing that process according to some kind of a discipline, you know, that they will prescribe. And now they have failed to do that. They have not done that. Now, Posse Comitatus, it is true. Posse Comitatus has been around long before the actual bill that came out talking about Posse Comitatus. It just put it in writing. But Posse Comitatus has been available in common law and has always been available in common law for going way, way back. In the United States itself, even before we actually became the nation, Benjamin Franklin was pushing very, very diligently the militia, and that every person over a certain age must participate. Okay, and this also was even written in our Constitution under the Bill of Rights, where we read. Let me get to that. In the Bill of Rights, in the Second Amendment, it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. You see, a well-regulated militia is necessary in order to maintain the security of a free state. So now they have failed us in all these points, and a mandamus is going to be well spent on that order to make sure that that happens. Meanwhile, there are other issues to be dealt with. I don't want to talk too much about this because we don't want to really discuss what's going into the paperwork soon. Once it goes in, then we'll discuss it. But until then, we'll kind of shy away a little bit from this. But I can assure you, I understood everything you were talking about. We're well in there. We're probably beyond that. We've even pulled things out of the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers discussing these problems and the problems of standing armies and all these things. We've done a lot of investigation. We've pulled a lot of information together. And we've written a lot of it. We're brainstorming still. We're going through point by point, and maybe we'll be adding some more. We're on point with that. So, yeah, if you want to give us a call and connect with me privately, 845-233-6560. That's 845-233-6560. And get more involved in this, and we'll talk. Maybe we'll even set up a committee of some kind concerning this, working with militia. Maybe that's key. I haven't even thought about that until just this moment. Maybe we should have a committee for the militia and start connecting the states together and the leadership of the states. So give me a call. Let's talk some more on this. Good call.
Okay, I left you an email at that telephone number today. So if you get a chance,
I won't get it. I get so many messages, it's impossible for me to answer those calls and then return the calls. I just can't do it. So, as a matter of fact, in my message, I tell people, you know, don't leave a message because I just can't keep up with it. But, okay, you know, I do answer my phone as much as possible. Lately, I've been a bit at the phone a lot, and I've been talking a lot on the phone this whole weekend and today. I've been talking a lot. But, you know, if you miss me, try me back in 2 hours, you know? Don't try me back in 15 minutes, but try me back in 2 hours. Sometimes I'm in a conference, and what I do is, and people will tell you that's on the phone with me, I conference people in. Sometimes I have 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people in, and they're kind of all in line with a certain discussion as they're coming into the call and leaving the call. So, you know, I take it collectively often in order to be able to deal with all the phone calls because I want to be available. Gerard takes phone calls, so if they don't get to me, they can get to him sometimes. Again, he's got a different kind of problem. He's got to be away from the phone a lot, but he does return calls, and he does, take on a lot of calls also. So just call me. You'll get me. Try me a couple hours later if you miss me, and we'll take it from there. But you know, if you want to connect us with a conversation with some group, then you'll want to make contact with me, and we'll make an appointment for that, so we don't hold those people up that they're sitting on the line waiting to get me also. Okay.
Right. These people that I'm talking about run the Sherman Institute, and they teach courses on how to write law using the common language of the law. and they're fully in line with what you're doing. And they
I'm interested in learning about them to see how we can partnership together. If we're compatible, we definitely will partnership. If we're not compatible, then we won't partnership. And our partnership will really go to the standpoint of really starting to have them come onto our website to work with us and to create some things. For instance, and that would be on very few types of groups. For instance, if the militias came on, we would like to get every state militia coming in and gathering together on a committee and working together and exchange information from state to state right there on their committees. Maybe, you know, as a matter of fact, we might even set up a group like we set up state groups for that kind of a thing, so that they actually have an area on a website to get into more details and discussions and have their own board and really get their communications going, because they need to communicate if they're not already doing that. That'll also entice other people who are interested in getting into the militia. They'll see it online and they'll start communicating, and they'll get to know Joe or Frank or Mary or whoever and say, hey, you know, how can I get into the militia here? Oh, yeah, talk to Joe here. He's out of New York. What area are you in? You know, and they'll connect us all together. We all should be involved in these things. The other thing is we got a sheriff's committee, which is kind of very young yet. We're working on that. But we'd love to get the sheriffs really involved. We want to help people that are oath takers already step up and become sheriffs and learn the Constitution, take our civics course, and we would like to work with the oath keepers where we can give them their own place on our site. And again, we have a lot of oath keepers amongst us. I myself am an oath keeper. I was in the military, and so, you know, we have a lot of people, and you don't have to be in the military to be an oath keeper. And we even have some ex-police here. We even have, I know in one case, ex-sheriff with us. So we want to attract more of those people. We want to teach them the real law, the common law, the common law that our founding fathers have put in place for us by God's mercy. And we want to get back to that. So those kind of groups, and again, even the Oath Keepers themselves, I think I mentioned, to give them a place. So those are the kind of groups that we'd really like to tie in and give a platform on our platform, because we know we're compatible and we know we have to communicate between these groups. And we know that we have a lot to offer each other back and forth. And for them to come to our board meetings and see what we're doing, and then maybe even grow in different areas, you know, spur off other committees and other groups within our program and really start to build a greater structure than what we already have. And again, by God's mercy, we are established in every state. We are spread across the nation. We are the people, and we are bringing back the common law. Whether they like it or not, it's coming back, and it's going to be established.
Right. Now, Doug Millar has a question for you, John. Doug?
Yes.
Well, John, yes, first of all, I want to write down this number, because it's a different number than I have for you. What's the 2560? What's the area code?
845-233-233.
All right, thank you.
6560.
Oh, 6560. Okay. That's the same number I got then. I thought I had a different number here. Okay, now, regarding silver, I'm glad you talked about that for health purposes. And I have a friend that we're working with. He's a national representative for a company that has the finest silver available. And so I would, should I talk to Grash about, I mean, should I talk to Gerard about that?
Well, no, we've already, I purchased a product called Silver Lungs, and it makes a colloidal silver or ionic silver. It makes both of them, because there are two different kinds, some things that you need it for, it's best to use a different kind, where in opposed most things you use another kind. But anyway, I make myself... goodness, I don't know how much it makes at a time. It may make a quart at a time or something. It makes a pretty large quantity, and it doesn't take long. You know, you plug it in, you set everything up, and you walk away. And you know, it generally it takes only, you know, 20 minutes or 40 minutes or something like that. I'll set the timer in the kitchen, and when I hear it, I'll go back in and then run another batch. And I'll do that in a few hours. I'll have gallons. And then I share with some people I know some of that stuff. Now, you could buy already made colloidal, I believe it's pronounced, colloidal or ionic silver water. And they sell that too. But why buy it if you're going to use it a lot? You know, you could make your own and supply your whole neighborhood. I mean, you can make a lot of this stuff very quickly. And so you can make an endless supply and never have to spend a penny again. And so two or three people can get together and for a couple of $100 buy whatever it is, you know, the kit. I think it's 300 and change. They have a couple of different kits. But I had some of the stuff, so I've got like the medium range kit because I already had the other one of the items that they were selling with it. But in any event, that's the way I think people should go. A couple people get together, and then you can make an endless supply amongst yourself. And let me tell you, this burns. This does miracles on burns. You wouldn't believe what it does on burns as treatment for, you know, putting, gauze and wetting down the gauze and putting the cold packs onto your burn or any kind of a wound, okay? Because it enhances healing. It encourages healing. And so, anyway, it's a product I think everyone should have. So if people want it, go get it.
What's he got, a silver generator maker? Is that what he's saying? He's got something that makes silver?
Yeah, he knows somebody who has a company that makes it like silver lungs.
Oh, that makes it.
Right. I think both. I think makes it and sells it, right? Makes it and sells it?
Yes, exactly. They provide the silver, and this man has a distributorship for the company. He can get it to you much cheaper than if you went and bought it from the company yourself.
Well, listen, just send me at Gerard@NationalLiberalAlliance.org. Send me some kind of an email blurb on it, and I'll look and see what you got there. The reason I like to look at many different things is, you know, not everybody wants to spend $300 on a colloidal silver maker. You know what I mean? So if you could pick up some good quality stuff and it's not too expensive, our members would be interested in that, I'm sure. You know, and just to see the different makers. I mean, you can make it with two silver rods and a transformer if you know what you're doing, but it's not as accurate like that silver lungs one. Everything is designed to give you that 8 parts per million, you know, and it has a stirrer and it has a lot of other things it does to sort of fix that number, you know, where the other ones is more of a hit and miss. But I'll tell you what, I made colloidal silver with batteries and rods and glasses. And you know, it works. Just that stuff, even though it might not be ionic, you still use it for all kinds of stuff. It's still an antibiotic. You know, that stuff may not heal, you know, things like Lyme's. You know, people are claiming that they can even that they've had major help with Lyme's disease with the ionic silver, not the elemental silver. But look at people used to drop silver in the bottom of the milk containers, you know, to keep it long, you know, 4 or 5 times longer than it would keep and with no refrigeration. So we know it works. So if you got something that you think our members might be interested in, I'd be glad to just look at it and see. You know, we're always looking for something that's a good deal, you know, to supplement what we're doing. I mean, the system John has is probably the best one for big families, and especially if you want to network with people like we share, so everybody doesn't have to go out and buy a $300 silver maker. You know, two or three families can share that if you got people that you're close with, you know, and just stuff like that. I mean, but you know, there's other ones, there's smaller ones that cost less, that make less, and if they're done right, you have good instructions, you can get away with that, especially in emergency. Anyway, go ahead. I yield.
Okay. Well, I just also mentioned to both of you and everybody else out there that we've actually, Jim Cook's mistaken, we've been actually simulcasting with you for the first 2 hours of your show, since over a year now.
Oh, great. And, appreciate that.
And so I'm so glad you brought up Jade Helm and talked about it in extensively last week, because we know a lot about it too. We've held one hour show on Wednesday with Jim Cook speaking, and then a 2-hour show with Dr. Jim Fetzer with Veterans Today. He was speaking out on it for 2 hours off last Thursday. And I'm so glad you brought up the Second Amendment crowd and the needing to organize with them, because they're, I'm an oath keeper also, a former veteran. I should say I am a veteran. And so keep up all the good work there, John and Gerard. You guys are doing a wonderful job.
Okay, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's take the next caller. Anybody that's out there that's coming in as a host here on the board, these people that don't have first names and states next to their number, you know, as we find out who they are, someone should be out there clicking their name and putting their information in there. So, okay, next person, is that Lynn? I'm not sure where you're from. Is that Lynn?
Hello,
L-Y-N?
Yes, it is. Good evening to you.
How
all.
You doing? What state are you from?
I am Pennsylvania.
Okay, Lynn from Pennsylvania. Maybe someone can put that next to Lynn's name there. Go ahead.
I'm East Coast, Northampton County.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday night, they were asking, and I wanted to ask about, they were teaming up for National Liberty Alliance, teaming up with Matthew Faulkner from Utah, U.S. Marshal.
I don't know nothing about it.
Because I wasn't sure if that was just on the CPS, because that was in the CPS call.
So yeah, I haven't heard anything. That was last night, and no one's called me anything about it, but... I'll check in. What happened with that?
Just because Matthew Faulkner is very good, so Gina and Sheila can, I don't know if you spoke, but you can speak with Gina and Sheila about Matthew Faulkner. Gina and Sheila are familiar.
Yeah, we'll
with that.
Do. And we're pulling some other people, some big hitters, people who've written books and people who have been at this battle with CPS for 20 and 30 years. And they may get involved with us directly also. And so I'm glad that they're pulling in heavy hitters, the people that are involved and understand what's going on, and to work with us to solve this problem.
I am one that well knows what's going on. I sat in the Department of Justice working there when they started the initiatives for adoptions in 97, and I went about starting gathering staff and started the program for juvies because I was tired of watching kids commit suicide. Now, I am a victim where I didn't know it at first, but I was suddenly pulled into a courtroom, and a judge informed me she was taking my kids and giving them to their serious abuser father, and I am in a major fight and in danger myself. I had no idea what they were doing to set us up until they hit me within a courtroom that I thought was on a restraining order, and she said she was giving him custody. I'm in a major battle myself and in serious danger.
Yeah. Well,
we
appreciate that. And yeah.
So I also want to ask the Facebook, for me, what I'm going through. I worked and I was employed by Child Protective Services, Department of Human Services. They put me in my battle with my family. I am going through, but they terminated me from my job. Doing that leaves me 100% penniless. I am unable to buy toilet paper, unable to buy soap.
This is status quo for them. This is what they do with everyone. I know people, they've lost their jobs because of this too. I'm very much aware. It's horrible. And
I know.
We're going to fix this problem. This is a huge problem.
So where I am is unable to get out in my community and round up people. I am desperately trying for if someone would go to the courthouse area, or even a block from the courthouse, as the people are coming up the hill, down on the main street, you know, to get people out here But me, myself, it's been very difficult. I've had a thought. I don't know how to start. Someone taught me to open a Facebook site because I'm not very good with the computer. If other people have a hard time getting out, if we could start in Pennsylvania, like a Pennsylvania NLA Facebook page, and that I could connect all of my Facebook friends and most of the people.
Yeah, absolutely. There are people doing that kind of thing, creating NLA pages on Facebook.
Yeah, well, I don't know how to do it. If someone could help me to set up a Pennsylvania NLA Facebook page.
Okay. You know who you want to talk to is you want to talk to Sheila, because Sheila is very astute in those things. So talk with Sheila. She'll help you. She's very heavy on Facebook, too.
Sheila can help me with that.
Absolutely.
Ask about that one. that habeas corpus, it's a part of... Anyway, I don't know if Eric is out here and to what nights they do the listing of... I have a court hearing to go back to jail on Thursday. Repeatedly, debtors court. They terminated me from my job, leaving me no means to find a job, no income, and they keep throwing me in jail.
Okay, well, you can make the notes. You know, tell us where the court is, what time, what day, and the date again. Give us that basic information so you can announce it now. Anybody listening to this call, if they can come over, if they're close by or willing to travel a little bit to get to that court on that day, get there. And definitely get a hold of Eric. You know, what I need is... if Eric has a case, he should be announcing it here on Monday nights, and I'm going to start a new process.
But
anybody, any of the directors, any of the group leaders that has something that they want to announce, they should send me an email and tell me exactly what it is that they want to announce, but follow it up with a phone call to make sure I got the email. So I need both. You send me the email with the details, and then follow it up with a phone call. And then I will announce anything that's necessary. And then if there's more information needed, we can direct them to someplace on our website where they can read the more detail of that situation. But go ahead. Tell everybody what court, what time, what date.
I'm in Northampton County, Pennsylvania, on the east coast of Pennsylvania, Thursday, April 30th, Domestic Relations Court, Union Street, Easton, Pennsylvania, at 1:45 p.m. 1:30 p.m.
Okay.
Thursday, April 30th, 1:30 p.m. Easton, Pennsylvania. And they have these like very small rooms, and they refuse. They will not allow. And not allowing the public into any of these.
Yeah, and that's a violation of an unalienable right.
Yes, and I'm never entitled to a hearing. I'm never entitled to present my evidence.
These people are evil. I don't care what you tell me. You have to be able to be in that system. You're partners with crime in that system.
I know, and it's so
it's
hard
Rico
to breathe.
On steroids. Well, let me
it's
finish
so hard
my point
to breathe
here.
Because I know this, and I'm so trapped.
Right, but these people
helpless.
Are running a court. They're calling it a court, and look at, no one's ever given them authority to open up a family court. No such thing as a family court. Look at, we can set something up in the courtroom through arbitration, using counseling, and doing the right thing, the just thing, where we could discover a situation. Really, you know what really works with families is family group sessions. Okay, where people with similar problems come together and talk with a professional counsel there to kind of guide the focus.
We need Christian counselors, therapeutic, just there that are not these government.
Absolutely, and this
counseling.
is what we will be pushing for when we run the court system. We will going to lay this whole thing out exactly how it should be and how it's going to be, and they're going to have to adopt. Because the way they're doing this right now is they're running it like a court system. When that judge, if, you know, here in New York State, the family court is supposed to be a court of record. But the whole system was really meant to be set up as a arbitrating system. And you would imagine a judge would be a guy who should be able to figure things out. A guy who could be just or a woman that could be just.
But they do know. But they are master. They are master.
Right, because they're making
terrorists.
Money. They're making
they're
money.
They're master terrorists. They're masterminded terrorists.
Yeah, they're making money. It's RICO. And that's why they do what they do.
And I know. And I have to go here. And I can file pleadings. I was a legal secretary. I was formerly a Juby judge's secretary. I've worn myself out filing pleadings because I do not ever get to present my pleading or my evidence or my witnesses allowed to speak. Never. I'm not entitled to hearings.
Okay, well, you've been talking with Gina and you've been talking with Sheila, right?
Yes, they're still trying to get
that
open.
And you volunteered your time with us?
I've indicated that I would like to be an intake person.
I would like for you to really focus in and on the affidavits, since you have some legal background. We're having a little bit of a problem with the affidavits, and maybe you and I can discuss this with Gina and with Sheila together and hammer out. We have a couple of people like you, and I think those people, we should use their expertise. You know, if someone has an expertise, we want to use that expertise that they have, and in order to achieve our goals. And so we're taking in affidavits from people, and I'll discuss the details. I don't want to do it on this call. So if you're interested in that, talk to Gina, talk with Sheila, particularly Gina, and ask Gina to get a meeting with me, and the three or four of us can get together on Skype, and we can discuss some ideas and details and brainstorm some things up and see what we can do. Okay?
Because I know they were tight with the, like, getting the applications, because I said to another man who wants to do them too, I said, when these people call to do these applications, how do we get them back and forth to each other when all we have is our private email? And we can't send them in. We really don't want to send them into NLA until they're completed. But us intake
right,
people,
well, we have, we, first, I've already so. I've already laid out a processing system and, how to collect the information, what to do with that information, and it all ends up in Gina, and she's got a group, a small group of people working with her for filing and laying things out and scanning into the system, and then laying out a digital file, which I would have a copy of, and maybe a couple people would have a copy of that, but I would have a copy of that. But it has to be processed in such a way and organized in such a way, and I've already laid it out to them how I need it so that I can digest it and work that into the court process that we're doing, because we have to be able to interpret the information and be able to, it's got to be processed for interpretation, and also it needs to be collective so we don't get confused. So, but we can use you in a couple of areas, and I'd like to talk to you about that.
So we'll get that on in that into CBS, because I have that, like I said, I've done my own pleadings here some, but it's useless because
you have to understand.
I can write things that's a code. I can write the pleadings till the pigs fold the laundry, the cows hung on the loan. We know this does not happen because we're solo. We're pro se.
Listen, if you don't understand jurisdiction, you don't understand that every case has got to become a federal case. You have to make a federal case out of everything. As soon as they violate you, it becomes a federal case automatically. Take it to the federal courts. As soon as you have two people, and you'll always have two people working together against you, you'll have all those lawyers against you, and you'll have that judge against you. That's called a conspiracy. So you have conspiracy, right of violation of a right of due process, okay?
I've never done to the federal level of things.
Again, we can teach you that take a civics course. We also have another course up there, which is in book form, which really is court process. You'll find that under, under essays and lectures. You'll find it in there somewhere, which is the common law. We have court case examples there. We have court access course. That's it right there underneath that. So take that.
That's another one of my issues.
Now, but you got to listen. Hold on a minute. This is very important because you got to tie this all together.
I can't get on the website those things. My computer doesn't do it. When you did the extraordinary, my computer doesn't pull them up. It doesn't pull up those.
Okay, so you'll have to talk to someone to help you fix that problem, or you can go to a library or go to your neighbor's computer or get someone to help.
I can't. I can't. I can't get to a library.
Yeah, but
you'll
have to get somebody to help you fix that problem.
And
okay?
Well, part of it is that my computer is 20 years old.
Well, you can buy a refurbished laptop and probably a desktop.
I can't buy a postage stamp.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I can only help you as much as I can.
I know, but that's the trap. That's how bad when they terminated me from my job, left me that house, the mortgage of the house, they know it's the whole extortion, exploitation, champerty, barratry, maintenance, tyranny. I know.
I understand.
But I'm stuck.
Listen, you are stuck between a rock and a hard place. You do not know how to take it to the court, obviously, because you're not able to get any satisfaction in the court, so you don't know how to take it through the court process. You know, you've been lost like all of us. We went to the school of hard knocks, and our hard knocks took us to a place where very few people have gone to. You know, we've learned through those things to certain processes. Now we know how to get into the courts and make it work. And it's the same process over and over again, but it is simple. But you have to kind of, you know, get familiar with the lingo and the way things work.
I can't get on the computer. My computer doesn't do it.
I understand that. But I can't help you with that. You should call a neighbor and ask a neighbor to maybe come over. Maybe you could borrow a laptop from a neighbor.
When you've had done to you what I've had done to me, nobody, the neighbors, apparently my coworker here, CPS, apparently they went through my neighborhood. And after the kids were taken, the week after, I know that the neighbors were all looking. They apparently went through my neighborhood and spread my name through my neighborhood.
Right. Well, that
nobody
didn't happen on its own.
They
probably did. They questioned people, and it probably
and I know that they do this.
So. All right, well,
I know that they do this.
I can only help you as far as I can help you. And then, of course, what we're doing collectively, you can join in with us, and we'll take care of all of the legal processes. And
so when I'm in jail on Thursday.
The question to me had been numerous times. Numerous ways is when are we going to file this? How come we haven't filed it yet? Well, we're in processing stuff. Until we process everything, we can't file anything. So people need to move quickly. And I hope in 30 days we can file something. And it's a matter of how much. If we get so many people in the process and together, you know, then we can file something. And people can continue to join and we can continue to, you know, excel that processing.
I know. So if there is anyone out there, what I'm saying is I know these processes still have to be put in place. And when we're growing, we're getting these committees together. And I know we try to move quickly, but things take time also. But where I'm at right now is Thursday. If I end back in jail on Thursday, who do I contact?
Well, make sure you have a next friend. You have to have a next friend who will be willing to sign the papers for you and act on your behalf. And you have to get affidavits together. You don't necessarily, if you can do an affidavit from jail, you know, from the court and get it done in jail and get it to your next friend so they can get it to us. And your next friend should be at the court. Eric should probably be able to help you get somebody up at the court. And they'll be a witness and they can then do an affidavit for you of the whole process and get all that information to us. And once we get all the information we need, we have a group that is created just for this. Perfect. It's called the Investigative Response Committee, and the guy who is the district the director for that is Greg. His phone number is on the committee and groups area. You know, right on underneath the committees. So Greg is the guy that you want to talk to. What I would do right now is get a hold of Greg now. Okay, and fill out the form because you probably have all the information you need on that form right there. You probably already have all that. Get him all that information now. Get some affidavit. Get your own affidavit of what's going on, all the wrongdoing to him now. And then get some people to go to court, and then you write one if you can get it out of the prison, if they put you in prison. If you get it out of there and get it to your next friend who will get it to Greg and your next friend will write one, and anybody else who could be a witness at the courthouse can write one. And we could literally be moving in 24 hours for habeas corpus to get you out. Now, habeas corpus, they got 3 days, and after that they got 5. So it'll take us 8 days to get you out if we could move in perfection.
And that's what I've been trying to say, and with Gina and them is what's for my affidavit, because my affidavit toward CPS is what caused what's going on with me. With CPS.
Listen,
with my own
you need.
Company. I get that.
You need.
But I
to
can't
get,
write my own affidavit.
Why not?
Because I can't.
Why?
Some of us who are in this, we have the information in the wheel, but we need the chain to help us get it out. We can't get it down on paper ourselves because I have 3 kidnapped kids, judicially kidnapped kids. I'm at this point $75,000 trafficked for child support. My oldest son, to my understanding, has ended up in the psych ward in the military. My youngest daughter, her medical doctor does not know of her being hospitalized. My husband said she was hospitalized at the medical
doctor.
Right.
Well,
I can't get too deep. I have a lot of trauma.
Listen, I can't get too deep on this Monday program on this case.
I get that, but what I'm saying,
why can't you write an affidavit? Why can't you write your story on paper?
I can't.
What happens if you write it? Can you not write English? I mean, you could write and read, right?
Yes, I can read and write.
Okay, so why can't you write it? Because you feel intimidated?
I have a mass trauma injury, and I can't get it out on paper myself. I can't.
Okay, so what you do is this. Listen. This is what you do, and then I got to go to the next caller. You call up Eric. Work with him to get people.
I've been trying to find someone from NLA who can help me get it down on paper.
All right, listen to me, please, okay? Write these things down. All these people's phone numbers is under the committees, okay? Find Eric, call him up, ask him to help, and he'll start getting the word out to people in Pennsylvania, and maybe people who are listening tonight will make their way down to this court. Make sure you have one next friend, somebody who lives close to you, that can act as your next friend. That is someone that can get all the information and sign papers on your behalf. They don't even need your permission for that. They can just automatically do it because you've been imprisoned, if you're imprisoned, and be your next friend. So you need your next friend. You need Eric. You now also need to get a hold of Greg. Greg is with the Investigative Response Committee. Get a hold of him. Tell him that you need all the paperwork beforehand. Then you get a hold of Sheila, Or you can get a hold of Gina, okay, and they'll help. Maybe you can dictate your words to them. They can write it down,
type it up to them before.
Okay,
and
listen. You could dictate it to them. They can type it down. They can
email
it to you.
That's what I've been telling them, but I'm not getting that cooperation.
But listen. You tell them they're on a call right now. They're hearing what I'm saying. They'll do this. Look it. You get, because you have a situation where you have some kind of a trauma disconnect and you're unable to get along to the paper. I understand that. We don't need to talk about it no more. That means we have to have compassion. Someone has to volunteer the time to actually type it up for you. This is what we need to be doing because it's the right thing to do. They know that. I know that. You know that. So we'll do it. And then once they get it typed up, they'll email you a copy or they'll fax you a copy or something. You will then make sure it's all correct, okay? You'll take it to a notary, sign it, and then you'll mail it off to Greg, okay? Meanwhile, you need to get a hold of Greg now because there's a form that needs to be filled out. Until I have all the information on that form, I can't do anything. You know, we have to know the court's name. We have to know the judge's name. We have to know the lawyer's name and all of the lawyers in there. We have to know their fax numbers. We have to have all that information, and you can get that real quick, and you get it now before you go to court. And so if you want us to work on this for you, you need to have all that information beforehand.
That's what I've been trying to say to Gina and to Nikki as well, is that how important it is I can't wait on this because
I just told you what to do. Follow through that process, and we will work with you, okay? But I got to move on to the next caller.
Right.
But talk to those people. They're all listening to this call right now, and if they're not listening, they'll have the MP3 tomorrow or later, and they'll be listening later because they're required to. And then we will deal with this problem. But it's up to you now. The ball is in your court to make it happen, okay?
But I can't do it alone.
No, you can't. I already told you who to call. They're listening. They'll
okay.
do it.
That's why I wrote down, and I talked to Gene and tried to talk to Gene about this and Nikki as well.
Okay.
Because I need to.
I
got to
move to the
that,
next
so.
Caller now.
Okay.
Okay, Lynn.
Thank
and
you.
Do those things, and we'll help you.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wireless caller, 218.
Hello, John. John, yes. I have to get on the CPS call last night just to see what they were because I'm trying to follow and do what I can with the NLA. And then I just listened to your last caller, and I the predicaments people are being put in. The very simplest method for all of these people is the common law. And Carl Lentz, K-A-R-L L-E-N-T-Z. He's all over YouTube, all over Google, anywhere on the net. You can find Carl Lentz. And he's getting people's children back. I say children because it's a common everyday usage. But when you say children in court, that has a terrible meaning because it's a fiction. It is not your flesh and blood.
Yeah, we understand that.
It's not your offspring. And that's what these are. It's your offspring. They are your property. And
yeah, we understand. We understand all that process. We're familiar with Carl. I'm not very familiar. I think Gerard is more familiar with Carl Lentz than I am. And you know, we're doing what we're doing, and Carl's doing what he's doing, and maybe we're compatible. I don't know. Maybe we could work together. I don't know. If he's interested, he can call us. But we're doing what we're doing, and anybody interested in working with us and for us helping, we're going to work with them and help them and do what we have to do. Now, look, there are people that might be illiterate. There are people that maybe are just very uneducated, they have no education or they have low self-esteem of themselves. And those are the people, not just those people. Look at Child Protective Services, CPS. The CPS goes after anybody, but they really hit hard people who are illiterate or people who really don't know anything at all about the judicial process and what's going on, which is most people anyway. So they're really kind of stuck, and they have no clue on what to do, who to call. And when they go deal with the lawyers sell them down the line. They're not helping them. They're not going to help them get it out. They're going to tell you, go along with the process, because we're all making money out of this. They're not going to tell you that part. And we want to keep you as long as we can so I can continue to get a check so you're in the system. So that's what they're doing. They're keeping you in the system for that problem. CPS and family court has never solved the problem. Let me repeat that. They have never solved the problem, okay? They're not there to solve problems. They're there to make the problems worse, okay?
That's right.
So now, if people are illiterate or they don't understand what's going on and they need to write an affidavit, you know, the people who are taking the intake, they shouldn't have to work with them to write an affidavit. We're going to do a special program on how to write these things up. And I'm going to have to, while I'm talking, I got to mute you. Hang on a minute, because we got some bad interference coming in. And I'll unmute you when I'm finished so you can get back on the line. But look, these people need to have a friend. Everybody has friends, a neighbor, somebody that they can ask help, and they can listen. We're going to be doing an MP3 on instructions. We did some things written up, and it should be cut and dry, very simple. And if they need help, get a friend, get a neighbor, help them put it together, and then get it to us. The people answering the phones can't do that. They have too much things to do. They're all volunteers, and they have to deal with a lot of people. So they can't be doing that. Now, in certain cases, like the lady was just on, Lynn, okay, she's got an emergency situation. She's going to court Thursday. Well, we have a duty now to help her directly, and more than we would normally, because she is facing incarceration, okay? So we need to work diligently and quickly with her situation and get the paperwork in for her. And we will do that. But generally speaking, people have got to help themselves. They got to get friends close by and do what has to be done from that perspective. Okay, let me unmute you now for if you have a final comment or something. Go ahead.
One other thing is the caller before him was talking about getting together with another organization and filing suit, joining a suit. And if you're going to...
No, we would not. We would
if,
not.
If you're going to have multiple people in a suit, they should come in as third parties. That
right.
way, if your suit fails, they could pick up the ball and take off running again.
Well, look at. They won't be able to. We're doing it from a very unique standpoint. We're doing it from the standpoint of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. We are coming in as the court bench. Okay, on the King's bench. Okay, so we're coming in from a very unique direction, number one. Number two, we're not going to fail. We can't fail. If we fail, then anybody else behind us will always fail because of the positioning and the way we're coming in. We're also coming in a way that I haven't heard many people talk of the way that we talk about jurisdiction, understand how to work the system and work the writs, because the key for these problems right now is in the writs. That's where the key is. That's where the power is. And you have to come into the courts under a court of record, and you're not going in filing an action. We're not filing an action at all. We're coming in as prosecutor, okay? It's a whole different story. We're coming in a very unique, extraordinary way. And remember, common law permits and encourages extraordinary actions. All of the writs, we have five or so writs that are extraordinary writs, which means they're very flexible. You could do very unique things, things that have never been done before, as long as it's common sense and it stands on principles and the end result is justice, you can do almost anything. You see, people need to understand how common law goes. There's nothing written down here. What's written down on common law ultimately is written in the hearts of men and of course, the Holy Bible. And its principles, sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And it's the end results is not form, but substance. And the end results must have a solution to bring remedy to the injured party. You see, we're more focused in, which is the common law focus, of the remedy and the fixing of the wrongdoing. No matter what it takes to get there, we can do all kinds of extraordinary actions. And so that's where we're coming from. Nobody else that I'm aware of is coming to this from our perspective. And you're going to read on the paperwork, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is going to be on the title of this paperwork. We are coming in as the King's Bench. And we've got some plans, and we're not going to get too much into it, how we're going to write these things and what we're going to do. But it's going to be powerful, and they're not going to be able to answer it. And it will result in positive responses. They're going to hate it. They're going to despise us. But they'll have no choice but to obey and conform to the law. But go ahead, if you have a final statement, go right ahead.
Yeah, well, presently it's the Queen's Bench.
Well, I don't know how you get that, but it's the King's Bench.
Yeah.
You know, it's God. God is the King, okay? We are, we sit on the King's Bench and we represent the King. If we're a grand jury, there's 25 of us. If we're a trial jury, there's 12 of us. But we represent the King. How do we represent the King? Well, we come in with his principles. We're principled, okay? We are vowed to God to come in with a sense of honor, with a sense of justice, and with a sense of mercy in all things we do. And then it's just a matter of listening to the facts and applying what is right. Those things, everybody can figure that out. It drives me crazy when you go into a court and they play all these legal games. Who gives a crap about all those legal crap games? I don't care about them. A common law is concerned with the facts. Just tell me the facts, and the people will figure out how to deal with the problem. They got hearts, and they can look, and they can see the injury, and they can see the evil or maybe an accident that has happened. They can see both sides of those things. That's where mercy comes in. So I don't know. They will figure it out, and giving them the proper tools, and not binding them down with statutes and BS, and let them go in the name of God, the King of that court, to bring justice, and I guarantee you, they will bring it. They will come with the right decision every single time. Anything else? Because we're going to move on to the next caller. What was your first name again?
Larry.
Larry, and you're from?
I'm sorry.
What state?
Minnesota.
Larry from Minnesota. All right, Larry. I appreciate the call.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Okay, next caller, Sarah. Go right ahead, Sarah.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. We had an incident this week in the district called that we had somebody portray themselves as needing help of the common law court, you know, the common law grand jury, but it really looked like they were a state social worker, clinical worker that was just trying to buzz into what's going on in NLA.
Uh-huh. Come. We welcome everyone. We welcome the FBI. We welcome sheriffs. We welcome any of the police forces to come into our meetings. And hey, if they want to join a committee and help us, we welcome them there too. Just don't come in and spy on us, because if you're here to spy, that violates our unalienable rights. Now, if you're participating with us and you see we're breaking the law, by all means, you should arrest us. But other than that, we welcome those people, because, you see, if they come in amongst us, they will eventually know what we're talking about is we're talking about what is right, what is honorable. And they know that. Unless they're making money on it, then they're so deceived and they can't see the nose in front of their face, and they're just full of spite and anger, and they want to try to bring us down, and they'll never see the truth. And there are people that will never see the truth because they have a different agenda than us. Our agenda is simple. It's called justice. That is my agenda. That's the agenda of NLA, and I believe it's the agenda of everyone working with us. We just want justice. We don't want revenge. We don't want war. We don't want anger. We don't want hatred. We just want justice, and it's the just thing. So that's all we want, and they should figure that out. Now, people come in with another agenda. Hey, they're making money at this. You know, I forget the count, but it was something like 56 different kinds of organizations make money out of the family court system alone. 56 different kinds of organizations in every state, in every county, in every state across America is making money, head over heels. And it's all about money, okay? But go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah.
And by the way, someone told me, I think you talked about this concerning your father, that you have a lot of knowledge of health issues and things of that nature, no?
I already spoke to Robert that there are people that have spent their lifetime doing this. I can get them in touch with NLA and whoever.
Well, what you need is a volunteer to step up to being a director. I thought you might be interested in health and wellness. For that committee. So think about it if you have the ability, because I was told that you do.
I have a lot of background in my family's activism for natural health. And yes, my father.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Would you be interested in taking on a director of that group?
I have too many other projects, even outside of NLA, to take on any more projects.
Okay.
I can definitely add my advice, because 30-plus years of dealing with these things, I do know a lot. However, there are people, just like the CPS advocates, there are natural health advocates that really should be the people that should be working in that group, because they already know who everyone is in all the FDA administration offices. They're not waiting.
All right, we'll wait for someone to step up to that position, and if someone's interested, if you know someone, send them our way. But they need to become a member. They need to believe in the NLA, positions and movement, what we're doing, and then decide to help in that area. But anyway, what other questions or comments do you have?
Okay, the other question is, it's actually a point. No one should be using, from any position in NLA, the emails for any personal business.
Right.
This should
established that. And we will look at, we're having a board meeting. We've been dealing with that problem recently. The people who have been violating that have been notified, and I believe we're getting positive results. People are going to stop doing that thing. And we're going to bring it up and be very stern on the board meeting. Anybody that uses our email lists, okay? And look at, people don't have direct contact. They don't have a direct line to the email list, by the way. In other words, nobody has, let's say, a state, New York, okay? We have over 300 members in New York. Now, every one of those people have email. Well, nobody has those 300 emails, okay? Even the state coordinator of New York does not have those emails. But they have access to a platform on our website where they go in and they click on buttons and they click on send email, and it goes out to everybody in that state. So they write, they type their message in and they click send, and it goes out to everyone in that state. Each state has that ability. We have different. We have another mass email program also built into the system for certain people, like the national coordinators and a few others, where they can send it out to all kinds of different groups. They can send an email out just to administrators. They can send an email out to all the people taking the course. They can send an email out to any of the states. They can send an email out to everybody, the whole thing. But again, even those people don't have access to the actual list of email. That's hidden behind the system. So what people are doing is when they send something out with a advertisement, they're sending it out through that process. And that's a violation. Also, you know, maybe at meetings they're collecting email addresses from the people coming to the meetings, and maybe through there they're sending their own email out with solicitation. That's a violation of NLA's, we'll call it rules, because it's the wrong, it's the right thing to do is to tell people not to do that. We don't want to create all kinds of rules, but common sense tells us stop. Besides that, we have a lot of people that have complained about this. I'm tired of being solicited as it is. Do I have to be solicited by NLA too? No, you don't have to be solicited from NLA. People don't want that. They're trying to get rid of that as it is. So everybody must cease that process. At this point, anybody found using and abusing our system through our meetings and our availability to send out mass email to certain different groups throughout our organization, we're going to remove them from that authority and take them off that list. They'll be a member, but we're not going to permit them to take on a leadership role anymore.
Yeah. Now, in regards to sometimes a personal person will say, can you send me information on what you know?
That's a conversation between two people. That's their business.
Now, the last thing
don't
that I want to...
Don't copy people on that. You know, don't take the opportunity to copy 20 people when you're sending something to one person who wanted some information because they know that someone is into health or into this and they want to get more information on it. They want to participate in something or whatever the case. That's their business. That's people stuff. That's people business. They can do that. But don't be copying people.
Exactly. Now, the last point that I want to bring up in regards to the Sheriff's Committee, we do have people reaching out to me, and we will have some PDFs ready for whatever NLA approves.
Well, we need to look at that. Get it. You know what you want to do is you want to send anything for approval. We have a committee for that purpose.
Yep.
So you send that information. If you got some kind of a flyer you created, I know you sent me something. I think I sent it over to the Common Law Advisory Committee. But if I haven't, you should. Get some advice from them. Let them look at things. Whatever you're going to do with phone calls or any of those things, that's procedural. We'll be talking about this on tomorrow's meeting. Anything procedural, we want you to write up your procedure, how things will go, how you think things should go. We want to take a look at that. You'll want to brainstorm it with other members within your committee, come up with the best ideas you can come up with. Then we can look at it, and if we see any problems, we'll let you know. We may help you and enhance it because we want everyone in those committees to do the, in that committee to be doing the same thing and processing the same way. If you're going to make phone calls, you should have a list of things you want to go through, and you should have an agenda on that phone call. There should be a process on how you do that, and it's helpful because people need that anyway. And then we're all coming up with the same message. We're consistent, one sheriff to another, and all those other things that come along with that. Now, we're trying to locate, and we do have one sheriff with us. He's an ex-sheriff. And I'm going to be talking with him. I don't want to take him out of the committees he's in, but I'm going to talk with him, and maybe he can assist, or maybe he can move over into that committee. But you know, if we can get someone there was an ex-cop, an ex-sheriff, a marshal, someone in law enforcement, okay, that to lead that committee would be the most important thing. And you can work with that person. But we got to get someone in law, especially with sheriff. If we can get a sheriff talking to sheriff, you can't get any better than that. You know?
long as they're on board with the common law and what NLA wants to do.
Well, that's the point. That's the agenda. They have to be on our agenda. If not, then we can't use them.
Because I have so many contacts in so many groups across the board, I can pull all kinds of people together to network together. So meanwhile, we do have people reaching out. They do have, 3 years till their election, so we're not under any kind of time crunch for the next month or so. Let's get all these papers.
Right. Well, there are probably some running this year, or do they all run on an even year? This is what? This is 2015, an odd year. Is there some places where sheriffs run on an odd year? Hey, by the way, Gerard, are you out there? Mr. Gerard.
Yeah, I'm here, and
okay.
My sheriff's running, you can take the calls,
okay?
My county's running sheriff this year.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, they run, the towns run, on the four-year offices, they'll do two of the four-year people and two of the four-year people. And I guess our sheriff happened to fall in the odd year, and that's the way it's going. I think it changes depending on, how it was done.
Right.
When, okay?
All right,
yeah.
So we do get odd and even. So we do have people running this year. We want to encourage that. When I finish with Sarah, Gerard, you're going to take over?
Sure.
And I'll take a break, go get a bottle of water and stuff. But, okay, Sarah, are we done?
Basically, I just will say that the retired sheriff, the retired police officer, they're both in advisory positions under the sheriff's committee. What I would like to see is a few more with that kind of background so that we can properly vet these candidates. Once they're properly vetted, they can be posted on the sheriff committee page.
Yeah, well, we don't have to get too deep in vetting them from the standpoint if they believe in our concepts, they're willing to sign the vow, then they're us, okay? Because the
correct.
Vow is very simple. It's only two paragraphs. They're short paragraphs. And we may write one a little special for the sheriffs, but I don't think so. It'll probably be the same thing. And it sets us into honor, justice, and mercy under common law. And as long as they're in agreement with what we're doing, there it is. And look, we're looking for people to become statesmen, not politicians,
Exactly. Now, one of the issues that was kind of brought up, it's not really fair, but it was brought up in one of these cases with the sheriff candidate in Utah, is that he has some kind of, background that could possibly...
Yeah, we've already discussed that already. We've settled that.
Yeah, but the point is...
Well, we don't need to discuss that in public.
That's why we need to vet certain...
Yes, we don't need to discuss that in public. We understand.
Okay.
We understand.
So, with that, we look forward to more candidates coming forward. Hopefully in the next week, 2 weeks tops, we'll have the paperwork PDFs that they can download, fill in, send back into NLA.
Okay.
So,
bring it into the Common Law Committee, Common Law Advisory Committee, and then once they finish working with it between you and them, then we'll look at it for final approval from the national level. And as long as it falls within the criteria and what we're doing in our agenda, which is to bring justice back into America, first in the courts and then through that everywhere, then we're all good.
Exactly. Godspeed, everybody. How you?
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Sarah.
Gerard, you got it.
Okay. Next questioner, looks like Jason.
Hi. How you doing, guys? I'm sorry I got knocked off. You were searching for me. I got back on as soon as I found that I was knocked out. That's a point of information. Did you get my information regarding the files for my case for the 20 with the security guards of the U.S. court?
No, are you talking to me about? Did I get your information? No, unless you sent it, today or sometime today.
I sent it on. I have to resend it. Mm-hmm. I did send it on to everyone I could.
you, John, Eric, you know, once again, I'll have to resend it out to you guys. Yeah, what John was talking about, the affidavit, I don't know if you read that one. That I put that in one.
Yes, I did, and I'll be calling you about that off of this call. And I did discuss that, and I will get together with you on that as far as the affidavits and what the content of that email was that you're talking about.
I don't know if I might have put those. Those are the ones that I had they had the affidavit and the other things in. I think it was like three or four files, if you recall.
I don't offhand. I do know. I did get that email the other day, or a week ago, or something like that. Okay. And I just opened it up the other day, and I went over it, and we did discuss it. And like I said, I'll be calling you off of this call on that subject. Okay.
Good, and I'll send out the other thing to you too. But again, it's really interesting. The 24th of March has increased, but my trespass again from the sheriff's security guards. It's really interesting, just for the people out there. The security guards of this 5,000 of the private contractors, they're retired police officers. Their responsibility is inside the building. The only time they are actually to partake in on a person outside of the jurisdiction is when they see someone violating another person, a robbery or vandalism, and neither would be provided. So again, they were outside the jurisdiction. I mean, these police officers, I mean, they don't have security bonds. If anyone understands that, that's a bond that protects the individual from any litigations. These police officers are under the city disaster insurance. So if enough people out there start sending enough complaints into their local departments, they can actually overwhelm them and put them out of order. Also, I don't know if you and John are, I was doing some research. It came along the Warren versus the District of Columbia that the police are not constitutionally obligated to protect their citizens, and they're only there to arrest criminals and do criminal investigations. And the only way that we, the people, can protect ourselves is the reestablishment of the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, which in New Jersey you can't even have an arm unless you go through, they remove your leg and your toes. I'm just being sarcastic. But again, Sheena Allen was just pardoned by Governor Christie for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. But she was a young lady in the 20s, had gone to New Jersey, and was she told the officer she had a weapon in her car, because again, that's the way she was taught in Pennsylvania to do it, and then they were going to put her out boy for 5 years. And what's really, we were always talking about mercy. The real interesting thing is the fact that these judges don't understand mercy. They're just there as to be time pushers and violators. Anyway. I yield to you. You have anything you want to ask me in New Jersey?
Well, that was good. They're not even barely police officers. They're corporate, and it's the same problem we have with a lot of the code enforcement officers. And so, you know, it is what it is, and hopefully we can get that fixed up pretty quick when we file our paperwork. Yeah. But anyway.
I'm sorry. You were saying you didn't sign off for us. That's a question. Now we are bound by the administrator's papers not to do anything that is outside doing anything with UCC codes or doing any of the other issues. Now we have done, you and John and everyone else on the team for NLA have done their due diligence, and again they are that. They are looking at us like we're queers, as a $3 bill, and they're not listening to us. And we getting to the point where a lot of people are getting frustrated. And again, that's a thought. I mean, the way the paperwork reads, that you don't need to be in the courthouse. I understand the way that John wants to do it. He wants to do it parliamentary and do it as that way. But again, it comes to a point where you had the European governments in World War II that were in exile, and they were running the government like from afar, France, Poland, and other countries. I mean, if we can't get into a courthouse, which we want to do legitimately, and they keep on kicking dirt on us.
We're not trying to get in like that, Jason. We're not filing cases trying to get in, but you know, when we file these habeas corpuses and the Coruantos, we are in the courthouse. They just don't understand the deeper meaning of that, and they will be overwhelmed. And at one point, they're going to turn around and understand how powerful that really is. We've never had one of our habeas corpuses fail. They don't answer them, but they release the people, and that's good enough for us right now.
Yeah.
So, we are having successes, and we don't want to lose sight of that, because we're setting that up with the paperwork that's going out. As soon as we get this fax glitch ironed out, you're going to see enough stuff going out to make your head spin, and their head's going to spin too. That's our strategy. And
right.
I'll discuss more of that with you when I call you on the other stuff, as far as, you know, some of the strategy we want to do. So I appreciate it, and I'm going to move on now to try to get through the rest of the people. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you so much, Gerard, and
okay.
Everyone out there, do your best.
Oh. Who's coming?
Mama's coming.
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. I Jason, I hit the button. I didn't know you were still going to go there. And then I think I got Tennessee. Is that Arnie or Ann? Ann.
Yes.
Go ahead, Ann. Wonderful. I'm sorry.
That's fine. This is Wonderwoman in Tennessee. I have a question. Where can I find the Coruanto that has all 50 states sealed that went to the federal court?
I think we have that up on the media. It may have all the 50 seals on there on that one, or the front page. I'll go take a look real quick.
Yeah, one of them.
But we're not using all 50 seals anymore. We really don't have to, because now that we have all 50 seals and people have agreed across the nation, we're a unified United States common law grand jury. So we do have a unified United States common law grand jury. So that's the seal we will be using from this point forward. Let me see if I can find a copy of that. Meanwhile, you two talk, and I'll go see if I can find it. I'll pipe in when I find it, if it's up there.
Yeah, the original went out with all 50 seals, and we copied it a couple places, but we didn't always include the sealed pages with it because it was redundant, I guess. But anyway, it is there.
Well, when we sent out the Coruanto, okay, we sent every state send it to their own federal district.
Right.
So they got it directly from there. So, you know, each state had to send out one, two, or three pages. Okay, so every state sent it to their own federal court in their own district. Some states only have one federal district. New York, for instance, has four. Okay, so that's been done directly. So there's one seal on it, that's the state. Now, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, we sent it out with just the one seal, the Unified United States. So they got two copies. They got one from us, and they got one from every state, and then whatever state of the union was in, they got one from them. And now I may have posted one with all the seals up
you
online,
did.
And
you
I'm
did.
Going
you,
to look.
Everybody to sent you. Everybody sent you copies, and you collated that and put it on the end, and you did have it printed. Now I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, I'm
and
going
was,
to look to see if we have the seals up there.
Right, but, and it was like two pages of stuff.
Of seals,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was. Let me see.
Hey, what happened? I got nobody open, and it says Rogers Jack. Did I lose her?
She might have fell off.
Oh, she might have. Well, get back in the queue. I'm sorry. I had nothing to do with that. That just...
The one up online does not have seals on it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know it did originally, and then we changed some stuff, and we didn't bother putting them in there. But we do have them. They're available if somebody wants one. I don't know how to... You know?
Well, we have to be careful. You know, I may have taken it down because we didn't file it that way. We may have intended on filing it that way and then never ended up filing it that way.
Right.
And so we don't want to, you know, we didn't, they did not get one, I don't think. I know in New York we sent it with all 62 counties, and we sent all the 62 county seals.
Right.
I know originally we set up the Quo Wanto with all 50 seals, but I don't think we ever sent it out that way. We sent it out only with the Unified United States Common Law seal, and then the four district courts got one from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, and they got one from the New York State Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury. And that's how they went throughout the nation. So I don't know that we want people to be using a Quo Wanto that has all the seals on it because we never filed it that way.
Right.
And we might have taken it down for that reason alone. But I mean, but anybody who wants a copy of that with a Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury seal on it, if you want a certified copy of that, just send me a letter requesting that. And put a return envelope in there, and I will mail to you the last page, because you can print off the rest of it right offline, with the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury seal impressed on it, so you'll have an impressed copy. It'll be a certified copy and a signature on it. And then if you need it for some legal reason, maybe you want to go and use it in court or something, I don't know, that's fine. And so I'll make that available, but I will request, well, you have to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. I'm not going to sit down and write up an envelope and put a stamp on it and mail it out. No, I will run it off the printer. I'll put the crimper on it. I'll stick it in an envelope, and it'll go into my mailbox. And when I run the mail down to the post office, it'll get dropped in the mail. If you can send a small donation, it'd be appreciated. A couple dollars, $5 or something, that'd be nice. But if you can't afford it, that's fine. We're not charging for anything.
Okay.
You there, Rod? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Yep. All right. I'm gonna move on here to the next questions. It looks like Jack. And what state are you from, Jack? Go ahead. You're unmuted.
Yes. I've been working along with you guys for the number of months now. I'm here in Vermont.
Okay, Vermont. Good old Vermont.
Well, before you go on, hold on 1 minute. Let me just finish off because I should have said one other thing. For the address to mail that request to, it should be sent to National Liberty Alliance, not to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. Send it to NLA, National Liberty Alliance, and you'll find that address on our donation page all the way down on the bottom. If you send it to the other address, it goes down to Westchester. I don't get that mail. And it'll be a while before that mail gets up to me. That's processed down there, and I don't see or hear anything unless it's important. And eventually I get copies of things. But other than that, that's that. But, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi. My friend got in a little bit of trouble, and I'm going to be acting as his next friend, help him write some stuff up, some writs. Now, you mentioned something about putting on the habeas corpus that I should include Unified U.S. Common Law Grand Jury. Should I put that?
Well, no. Only the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury can write a writ of habeas corpus with that seal. You can't do that. That is a big concern that I have. Well, people will see the information up there on how to write a writ, and then they'll put our... the common law grand jury, they don't have authority to do that. You certainly don't have authority to sign it, and you don't have a seal for it. You can't do that. But
you could do it
as a next friend. So just change the information as a next friend. The first time I did this, I did it as a next friend. I used my own personal name. I used my own personal seal. I've got a court of record seal. I used my seal on the paperwork. I did all the paperwork for the guy. And I came in also as his next friend, and I moved the court along in the process and procedure as we're going to show next week. and he got out of jail. On the third day came, and then 5 days later, for a total of 8 days, or 5 days later, on the very last day, the very last moment, they released him. You know, when they released him, I didn't know about that five-day process. I thought, because I was talking about they waited another 5 or 6 days before they released him, and they didn't release him on the third day. Well, I was in error thinking that, and later on I found some more information, and I come to understand that it's 3 days and 5 days. 3 days to answer, then you have to default, and then if you default on day four, then they got 5 more days, so it's a total of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days altogether. But if they're righteous, and of course they're not, the moment that they know that they're not going to answer, they should just release
it. Was here.
And of course, if they're in the courthouse, they should just
see it. These headphones
okay,
are going
Gerard.
Again.
He's just over there.
Gerard, go ahead.
So I'm new at... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I got that information. I wrote all that 3 days, 5 days stuff down. And this is all new and crazy language for me, so I'm still learning a lot. Now, should I advise my friend to remove his lawyer?
It doesn't matter whether the lawyer's there or not. You could do it with him there or not. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Does it matter?
No. His lawyer's going to scratch his head, but good.
We can keep the lawyer.
Well, I would never advise anyone to keep a lawyer. If you like to hang out with and give money to liars, fine.
Oh. No, I don't want to keep the lawyer at all if I don't have to.
Okay, well, I wouldn't keep a lawyer, that's for sure.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I'm going to just do the best I can, and I can appear in court with him.
What are the charges against him? Is it coming out of a town court, a city court, a county court, a state court?
County.
A county court.
It's a lover's dispute. And supposedly he violated his restraining order by calling her mother.
Oh, okay. Look, that's ridiculous anyway. Look, I don't even want to know anymore. I hear you. Look, if you write this the proper way and you deal with the paperwork the proper way, you'll also shut that case down. Because when they default on a habeas corpus with an order to show cause, okay, or they also defaulted on any right to that case to continue, and they must cease and desist, and it's written in the papers very clearly, and if they violate that, put them in jail.
Written in my paper, in the habeas corpus?
That's right.
Do a copy of that on
it's part of the process. It'll be up there next week.
Okay, good. Okay, great. And I think, you know, I'm just on my way. I'm going to do the best I can. If I write something up, can I send it in to you guys?
I don't have time to review it. I'm way, way too busy. I don't know if anybody else, you could talk to others, but I don't think that they have, you know, everybody's really, really busy. But look, when we get you the paperwork, if you know what you're doing, at least generally, if you've done some things before in the courts and you've got a little familiarity with how the court system works, then you should be able to take the paperwork and run the process correctly. Okay?
Okay,
habeas corpuses are always the same. The framework, everything is always the same. All the paperwork is frameworked, and it's always the same. The only thing difference that changes are the people and the facts of the case. You just change those things accordingly. Everything else stays the same.
Great,
although there is a difference, there's a slight difference in focus and language, which is obvious, between federal and state. If you're doing a habeas corpus to pull someone out of a state, county, or town court, well, we have language for that. If you're going to pull them out of a federal court, you have to change a few things because you're not dealing with state, you're dealing with federal. And for instance, you know, on the federal side, you have a U.S. attorney. On the state side, you have a prosecutor. The U.S. attorney is the prosecutor on the federal level, but the district attorney is the prosecutor on the state level. So those kind of things are different. You know, you have a sheriff on one end in a county prison, you have a marshal on the other end in a federal prison. So you're dealing with different animals, so to speak, and that's the kind of thing you have to tweak and change, okay? You have to notify certain people. You know, you have to notify the Secretary of State. I think it's the Secretary of State. I got to go look it up, but we'll go through all those details. Whereas in the federal government, you have to notify someone else. There is like five different people or group or offices that need to be notified, and they're different from the state than from the federal. It's the same thing. The principles are the same thing. The positions and jobs they're holding in the courts are the same things. They're just called different things. So it's those subtle differences between doing a habeas corpus on a federal level versus a habeas corpus on a state down to a town level.
Are those notifications listed on the NLA?
What notifications?
That
will be in the habeas corpus. It'll all be there. When we file the habeas corpus, we will post all of the papers on the habeas corpus. And every time we file a habeas corpus, we'll post the paperwork on our site, and you'll be able to download those papers. And next week I will lay out the procedure, and it'll be recorded. You can come back anytime and click on the MP3 and listen again and again and make your notes and do what you got to do it right. But I will tell you one thing: don't do it wrong. You need to be very careful. And cross every T and dot every I, read it through 5 times, make sure you've redacted anything out of there that doesn't belong there, make sure that the points in case are your points in case, make sure that the facts and the players are your case. You got to make sure all that stuff works right, otherwise it'll be a piece of junk going into the court, and they're going to be scratching their head, and it's not going to work.
Thanks. That helps a lot.
Right.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
We got one last thing. People want to go to the webpage. His Holy Church has some wonderful information about the law.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. The next question is Gary from Michigan. Go ahead, Gary. You're unmuted.
You don't mean the next caller, do you?
Or the next caller. Well, he's in the question queue, so he is the next question, technically. And he's open. Can you hear
us? Maybe he's the next comment. He may not be in the next question.
Hello, John and Gerard. Do you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go, Gary.
Okay. John and Gerard, I'm very happy to see that you have... on board Silver Lungs. I'm here to testify without a dog in the fight at all. That Silver Lungs is a very appropriate company to be associated with. Mario is the guy that most people would deal with if you call them, and he's very knowledgeable and very helpful and fits right into the whole project here.
Yeah, just make sure if anybody calls when you go through the ordering side, do it off of our site so we get credit. Otherwise, we don't get credit for it. But
certainly,
you pay the same price either place you go. It doesn't matter for you, but it matters for us.
Well, I've been a customer for several years, and
right.
My wife and I have a cold mist vaporizer that we have in our bedroom that we use every night, and I can testify that we haven't had a cold or the flu since we've started using that, which is...
Well, that's a good idea. I never thought of putting it in the vaporizer.
Yeah, yes, a cold mist vaporizer.
Yeah, we've got
low,
we've got the cool, we've got
in your
the
bedroom,
heat.
You're breathing it, because the best way to use this silver is to get it into your bloodstream. That's the only way it's going to be really effective. The federal government knows this because they use it in the space station, but they don't tell us about it. In fact, they're trying to, in some cases, they're trying to make it illegal. And I think Europe, some places in Europe, you can't buy silver, colloidal silver anymore. So,
okay.
Having said that, testifying about Silver Lungs, I would like to make a suggestion, John, that you have, because we have a group here that we gather around a fire pit or in the barn or in the garage or whatever a couple times a month, and we have what we call a talking stick. And it helps people show respect for the person that is speaking. It really bugs me when I hear people talking over you. And in some cases, John, you talk over people too, but that's understandable. But when people are talking, it's very rude for anybody to try to talk over them. And a couple of callers tonight and in other calls that I've been on listening to you guys, it just bugs the heck out of me that people would be that disrespectful to try to talk over somebody else. So I think if you could come up with a system like we have, like a talking stick, we pass it around. The person that has a talking stick, they're the only one talking. Everybody else is listening. And if you got something to say, you wait until you get your talking stick, and then you talk. So I felt like I had to say that.
We'll try to do better on that, and we can just mute the person when we're ready to talk and then unmute them when we're given a back to talk. But, you see, basically we don't have three or four or five people talking at the same time. It's usually just two. Gerard might pipe in or someone else on the leadership level rarely does, but they might pipe in. But the bottom line is that it is a back-and-forth communication. But sometimes people go too long, and then they cover so many things, I want to stop them so we can talk about these things, and then we can go on for more things. And I think more often than not, unless I'm deluded myself, I think that's where I get when I interrupt someone, and then I try to say, well, hold it, before you go on, let's deal with this and let's talk about this, because we can't take 10 things and I can't remember 10 things. You know, we want to deal with everything. And sometimes when someone says something that really I could take the advantage to really, you know, build off that platform, you know, springboard off of what they had just said and done in order to teach or make a point concerning something that we all should know. So I do often do it for that purpose, too. But hopefully I don't do it for rudeness, not that it's not possible. You know, I'm a man like anyone else, so I'm subject to those things. But we'll do better.
No, I compliment you, John. You have much more patience than I would in a similar situation. It's usually the other way around. Here's another thing that I wanted to mention. Our group has a project that we call it. In fact, we're going to try to finalize it Friday, and I'm sorry I don't have one in front of me here. But we have an idea that we would like to pass out to anyone that's taken an oath, whether it be a politician, a law enforcement official, a former military, that's just myself, whatever, that has taken an oath, to let them know that that oath is eternal. It doesn't run out when you get out of the service or when you stop serving whatever elected office that you hold. And that if you are in violation of that oath, that you are basically an enemy of we the people. And we haven't, you know, most of us are NLA members, and we're not trying to associate that with the NLA specifically. But I think that this could be very effective to a lot of people if all of a sudden they would get 10, 15, 20, maybe even 30 or 40 people of their constituents that would hand them this card and say, hey, you've taken an oath. We want you to abide by that oath. And if you don't, I want you to I'm serving notice to you that you have become an enemy of the people and possibly even guilty of treason. We haven't got it finalized, but we're going to, and I just thought I'd run that by you, John, and Gerard, and see what you think of that. Might be something that we could do nationwide. Maybe it'll go viral.
Yeah, that sounds good. When you're finished with it, send it to us, and we'll take a look at it. What I would suggest, again, is first run it through the Common Law Committee we have, and then they'll run it through us, and then we can talk more about it and see once whether it's something we would want to, you know, also participate in and try to, you know, do the same thing. So okay. It sounds good.
Okay, thank you. The other thing, I would be interested in being on your list of assistants in your health committee, basically because I've been a health and safety officer for the last 20 years in my working committee, and don't claim to know, have all the answers, but would certainly be willing to work with people that that are working along those same lines. So you could put me down, Gary from
Michigan. Right. Well, call up Robert or Jan. Now, I haven't put Jan's name and number up there yet. I don't think I did. I'll check. If I didn't, I'll get it up tomorrow maybe. But you can call, you know, Robert or Jan. They're both national coordinators. And they will, you know, work with you and help you get the committee going. And when other people come, they'll pass them on to you and you work together. We only want one director. Now, sometimes you may have someone in a group that has a certain expertise, so you want to give that person a title and identify them with the expertise they have. For instance, we have the Geek Committee, which is the Geek Squad Committee, and there might be someone that is an expert in Microsoft stuff. So we would want to make that point in their title that, you know, if you have a problem with Excel or with MS Word and you wanted to know something to enhance your paperwork or to do something, well, when you go to the committee, you see the director, but then you see the Microsoft guy. Well, let me call the Microsoft guy. Why bother the director? Because that's the guy I want to talk to. And so we want people to identify themselves that way. And we also want them to really sit down and think about this, come in with great humility and realization that none of us know it all, and that we have to take advice from each other, and that we have to brainstorm things. And then we have to yield to the person who has an expertise in a certain area, okay? For instance, we have another committee that deals more with, you know, responding to problems, okay? And they do the research, and they're the response team. And in that committee, we have certain people with certain expertise, okay? We have one person in there with law enforcement background. I believe they have a background as they were a sheriff at one time. And we have another person in there with other kind of background. We do want to kind of identify that background. So those are the people. And of course, when that person, look, if someone is in the game here with us and they're a sheriff and you want to talk to the sheriff, it makes sense to let the sheriff guy, the guy that was a sheriff, take the lead on that. Because sheriff talking to sheriff, you know, they understand each other. They know the lingo. You know, they got an expertise there. And also they got a sense of respect between the two because they're both in the same game, you know. So, you know, that's how we're working and building the committees. But talk with Jan, talk with Robert, either one, and they'll help you get started. And we'll get your name up there and we'll help you start building this committee up.
Okay, thanks, John. But how do I find Robert or Jan? Where do I look for them on the site?
Yeah, just go to click on directory, okay. And when that opens up, you read through there, right before the all the listings happen, you have Robert Bistow, the national coordinator, and he's got his phone number there. And tomorrow or maybe tonight, if I feel up to it tonight, I may go to sleep right away, so I may not do it. But tomorrow I'll get Jan's number up there, and so you'll have two people to call. Now, Gary also, but I think Gary doesn't want his number up there right now because he's traveling and he's busy, and he's handling some things, but he's not doing the workload he was doing before. And once he gets back and resettled back home again in Michigan, then I'm sure he'll pick up more of a take on more duties again.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm familiar with Gary. We've talked a couple of times, several times, I guess. But
right.
Anyway, thanks for what you're doing, John and Gerard. I appreciate it. Regular listener on the call and willing to help out with any way I can, but have a busy schedule of my own. So God bless.
Well, appreciate it. And again, you know, even if you only, you know, whatever you do, everybody should join a committee, everybody. Even if they can only put an hour a week into it, God bless you. You got 20 people putting an hour a week, you got 20 hours of work, that's great. That's 20 hours more than we had.
Yes,
you know?
I agree. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me hit my next question here.
13 minutes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm LaRonda, and I'm from Missouri, and I wanted to announce that I have created an informative booklet that is in relation to the subject discussed on NLA and that will benefit many. Today I presented a copy to the Common Law Advisory Committee of NLA that one will be able to obtain by email for free. So one may can expect more information about this project soon if approved, and that's just all I wanted to announce.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
We'll look forward to seeing that. Okay. Catherine is dead.
I say a couple weeks before the murder happened.
You're on duty. It says Carol Catherine.
And I used to get it.
So I should get with that. Well. While Jennifer said, like you said.
Hello, Catherine, are you there? I think she's probably got it open in the background. I hear talking in the background. Catherine, are you there?
Hello.
I think just move on. Last call for Catherine.
Spoiler. You're open. It just says spoiler. No number, no nothing. Spoiler. I can maybe hear you. It sounds like your mic isn't modulating properly. Yeah, you
yeah, they're over modulating. Try backing off of your mic.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, we're not getting you at all. It's you're barely breaking the line, Mike, and going out. Like you said, he's maybe over modulating. No, still no good. Yeah, you got a mic problem. We only got a few minutes, so you can try back later if I get through. I'm gonna go. I can't get. Okay. Unknown 7861.
Hi, I'm Samantha. I'm in Columbia Falls, Montana.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's my first time calling in. I'm kind of nervous.
Well,
thank you. I had four things, actually. I had a brain injury myself, so I write things down. My brain injury was the result of a violent crime. I was run over by a very drunk woman in a budget box-style moving truck. So I was wondering if I could request courtroom observers for May 7th.
Well, the best thing to do is get a hold of Eric. He's on the site under courtroom observers. And make sure
okay.
You give him that number. Now, you can announce, you know, if you got May 7th, you know, if you want to go ahead and shout out now the location, the date and time, that's fine. But you should get to Eric so he can actually post it.
Okay. I will figure that out.
Yeah.
The second thing with the sheriff situation, I have an out-of-town of attorney, and I was in Anaconda Deer Lodge County, and there's a committee down there doing a survey, and they were asking questions that seemed like they were trying to feel it out as to who is awake to how the constitutional processes are meant to go. And they're asking questions such as, would you be okay with having an appointed sheriff or county commissioner? And so I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's an evil thing. We don't want anybody appointed. Those sheriffs have to remain elected by the people, and that's where their power comes from. And, of course, they're trying to kill them all the time. You know, trying
absolutely.
To get away with it.
Yeah, so I would just wanted to give the shout-out that I had noticed that red flag down there. And to my fellow brain injury survivor, in my area, and I'm assuming most areas have it, the literacy program through the library might be able to help her line up a tutor and print off the NLA materials that she could use in lieu of books and magazines and things.
Right. That's a good suggestion.
I've tapped into them, and then each county or area federally has to have a independent living project nowadays. And there's a website, it's ILRU.org, That's IndigoLeoRadarUmbrella.org. And you can click on the area and find the free advocacy people that could also maybe help her with some of her legal issues.
So. Right. Okay. Thank you very much for all that. And
thank you for what you guys do. So.
You're welcome. Have a good night. Thanks.
Thank you, too.
Yeah. New Jersey, Gina, you are unmuted. Go ahead.
7 minutes.
How you doing, Gerard? Real quick. Hi, John, everyone on
hey,
the call.
Hey, Gina. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you spoke with Sheila. I apologize for not making a meeting last night. After dinner, I fell asleep. I didn't wake up till 10, and it was just too late. So, but I will come on next Monday for you, next Sunday for you. I'll put it up on my calendar, okay?
Okay, that'll be great, John.
All right. We'll talk during the week.
Okay, I just wanted to real quick address the fact that I did speak with Lynn a couple of times, and one time was really lengthy, almost 3 hours. And I have received several emails from her, and I just addressed to her that how can she write emails but she can't write the affidavit. So Veronica, I got to get with her because she told me that she was working with her on that affidavit. And I had also suggested to her that she get on the Sunday call, come into the queue, and then, you know, talk, and then once everyone's done, I would leave the recording going, and I would record it and then write it out for her. So she didn't do that. And she calls me and saying that she got, you know, she dialed *6*3 and all that, but then tonight she got in the queue just fine. So I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to get with Veronica and see how far she has gotten with her so I can figure out what's really going on with her. So I just want everybody to know I did talk to her and I did offer to help her, and I just got to figure out what's going on, and then I'll, you know, take it from there.
Well, we appreciate that. We really do, and we know this is a special area, and certainly people have certainly been beat up that are in this. You know, they're walking wounded, so... We try to help get to the best of our ability, you know. When you do what you can, and that's then, you know, I guess the rest is up to God, right?
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, we appreciate that, Gina.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, thank you. I guess maybe we got time for one more, John.
Yeah, you got 5 minutes.
All right, there's 9671. There's no name there.
Oh, hello.
Hey. Where are you from?
Hey.
What's your first name?
Well, hey, I'm from the state of Jefferson, a.k.a. Siskiyou County, California. It's Kelly Mordecai. Glad to talk to you guys again. I got,
Jefferson, huh? Okay.
State of Jefferson.
I like that.
Yeah, we love it up here, too. Well, I got several items to talk about. Today I visited a friend who went to jail. Why? Because he was exposing corruption. Came out in the paper. 4 days later, he's in jail. I've been hobnobbing with the Siskiyou County supervisors, telling them that they have the power of the grand jury. It's in the California statutes. And then I went to the rally for the miners up there, Sugar Pine Mine. You guys heard about that scenario?
Yes, we discussed it on this program, as a matter of fact. So go ahead.
Yeah, so there's several things there. I want to tell you a quick joke about attorneys. The English language is composed of all sorts of languages.
Just so you know, we got 4 minutes, 3 minutes now, but go ahead.
The word law came from Vikings, who conquered 2/3 of London, and they raped, plundered, and murdered on their way. So the word law is from Vikings. If someone says to you, I'm an attorney at law, you might want to be careful. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, I would like to correct that history problem because that's not true. Vikings, Jefferson loved the Vikings. They were the Anglo-Saxons, and it is true they came and made a lot of war throughout Europe and also in England. But what people don't understand is that they were sticking up for the weak, and they had a form of government that Jefferson really got the picture of government that we have today. They had in their mind and their thinking they wanted to be ruled by the mind of God, so they had set that principle up. Jefferson was so drawn back by that because he realized that this was Mosaic law, and there was no connection between the Vikings, at least not that he had known any place in history, with these people, and also going back to Israel, you know, about 1500 BC, where they ruled, where God ruled Israel for 400 years as king. And so when the Vikings came to England, then a lot of things changed. I think it was called Britain back then, it changed to England, or maybe it's vice versa, I don't remember. But in any event, they, when they found the Bible, they fused to the Bible because it was exactly what they were all about and talking about. They looked and saw what Israel was doing. They might have had, they might have been parts of the tribes of lost Israel. I don't know. But they had certain principles.
Absolutely
that, yeah, they had principles and ideas that were right from Mosaic law, right from the 400-year rule of God with Israel, and that's what our nation was built upon, from those
wow,
two groups.
Interesting, very interesting. Well,
and
my
so when I see these Viking things on TV, people actually think that's what they were. They were not that at all, not at all. Yeah, they were warriors. Yeah, they kicked butt. They were powerful people. They came out. They were warriors. But they were warriors for God. They were warriors in righteousness. They protected the weak. They didn't plunder people the way they showed on TV. It's real. Well, look at they destroy anything that's good. You know, they destroy Christ. They destroy.
Yeah.
You know, they destroy our founding fathers. They destroy a lot of good people because they can't destroy the messenger. I mean, the message. So they destroy the messenger.
It was a joke about attorneys, but
yeah,
I like your points. All right. Anyway. All right, so my buddy was exposing corruption. He filed a civil suit. It has to do with CPS and district attorney. And it came out in the paper 4 days later. He was in jail. I met with him today. We're going to work in the grand jury system there to try to get him out and exposed, because the district attorney, she could have her entire life destroyed. Well, of course she should, because she's messed up. All right, then we go to the supervisors.
Well, before you go any further, I hate to take up your time, but before you go any further, get in touch with our investigative response committee. And if you or someone out there wants to be this person's next friend, we'll do something for you with a habeas.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be, you know, Kelly Z. Mordecai. I'm on Facebook. All right. Now I want to go into the supervisors. In California, this is so exciting. It's stunning. The supervisors can act as a grand jury with a subpoena supported by a judge. This is Government Code Section 25,000. I stumbled across it in researching the Government Code. And the supervisors here didn't even know about it, but it's stunning. They can act as a grand jury. We've had problems where federal agents and state agents go on property with guns without a warrant. People have already revolted up here, and the sheriff called a nice town hall meeting and kind of quieted it down. And the supervisors, the look on their face was deer in the headlights. Did you guys know about this? Anyway, so that's one. Now, with Oregon's situation there with the Sugar Pine Mine, I'm trying to get through these real fast. I want to empower people, okay? So they tried the common law approach.
We're out of time, so try to button it up, 30 seconds.
I'm going to button them up, all right. In the common law approach, they tried the common law grand jury. The DA is like, yeah, I don't know. I found in the Oregon statutes that the supervisors can appoint independent counsel to the grand jury. OMG, this is like, wow. In other words, supervisors can say, get out of here, district attorney, you're in the way. We're going to appoint a prosecutor who's going to look into this mining situation. It's stunning. And Oregon, in their statutes, they can do a presentment. It's stunning.
Well, that's good stuff, because a prosecutor is next to God in the county when it comes to law enforcement. So I don't know of any other state that does that. That kind of undermines the prosecutor, and that's the problem. These prosecutors, you know, they're ruling with an iron fist, everything's up to them. Look, you can get a sheriff to arrest a public official, but if the prosecutor doesn't prosecute, the case goes bye-bye.
Right, exactly. So I'm going to tell you this exact Oregon statute. I was reaching the grand jury codes. This is really good. Oregon's got a lot of good stuff here, but it's Oregon statute here. I'm going to pull it up here. I think it's 250 something. I was like,
way past the 30 seconds.
Okay, here we go. It's 203.8100. The county commissioners, we call them supervisors, but the county commissioners of Oregon can appoint a special prosecutor to the county grand jury.
Very interesting.
Okay, great. Okay, we've come to the end of our time. Appreciate the call. We appreciate all the callers. We're sorry we didn't get to everyone. Next week, we will make sure that we'll make the notice that anybody that didn't get on this week, we'll try to get you into the front of the line. We'll ask everyone to hold off for a couple of minutes before they click themselves into the queue. But anyway, with this, we're going to end our program for tonight. Thanks for everyone for coming. And remember, only the people can save America. You have to get active. We need help. Everybody, put in an hour a week if you can, if you can't put more time. If you're retired or you're in a business where you can get a lot of free time and help, give us as much time as you can. But look it, everyone needs to give an hour a week. We need the help. We also need financial help. Everybody needs to give $5 or more. We appreciate it. Okay, with that, Lord bless you. We'll see you next Monday. Until then, God bless everyone, and good night. Thank you.
In my dreams, children sing a song of love for every boy and girl. The sky is blue,
JP, we're still live.
Tell me why.
Okay.